And Mike Building, 3FM, 106.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
I mean, that was bad news, the fact that you did something like that the night before the game. And that was the myth. That took so much out of you that you couldn't possibly perform.
Listen, this is an emergency, and it can affect every one of us. That's all I can tell you right now. But we're trying to get things under control. In order to do that, we have to clear this area immediately. So please go home and stay there. We'll keep in touch with you through your radio station.
It rained so hard that one of our guys got in the bottom of a pile, and the water was so deep he almost drowned.
How are you, sir?
Okay.
Why don't you do me a favor and have a seat on the stool right on the other side of the bar there? Yes, go ahead, have a seat. Did you get yourself all comfortable? Or?
Sure.
Jungle Mania appears to get uncomfortable when I read some of what he said online.
Have you ever asked somebody to you off? You talk about...
Oh, I won't deny that there was...
You say you better not be getting me into trouble. That's not good.
It's not, because, you know, I mean, look what's happened here. Even though I haven't done anything with the guy...
So you have that dark hair. Do you have any body hair?
Yeah. I mean, those are normal chat things on...
Those normal chat things for the 14-year-old boy?
The 43-year-old insists he had no intention of having sex with the boy.
You ask him if he's horny, and then say, I wish you were not so far away. What conclusion can I draw from this?
I totally understand.
What do you do for a living?
I manage an audit department for a major oil company for 25 years.
It's a big job.
Absolutely. I'm scared to death.
It's time to tell him what he just walked into.
And I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
So this is going to be on TV.
When our cameras come out, he heads out the door. And you know what happens next.
Hands up! Hands up! Hands up! Around.
That was the practice. The first move was to hook him under the neck. Might hurt him. He might not be able to speak for a few days, but, you know, that was just the way it was. Yeah, I don't remember.
You are a great guy. Thank you so much. Anybody here never seen us before? Anybody? A couple of people. Well, our show is the memories of Elvis, and this is a tribute to the late king of rock and roll. You know, we're not here to make fun of Elvis or take his place or anything like that. We're just here to bring you back some memories.
It was just a bunch of guys who enjoyed playing the game with an opportunity to play for a living.
I mean, he's a fag!
Dogs. Dogs, can you hear me, dogs? Listen to me, Anthony. I got your head in a f***ing vice. I'll squash your f***ing head like a grapefruit if you don't give me a name. Don't make me have to do this, please. Come on. Don't make me be a bad guy. Come on. F*** you. This motherfucker. You believe this? 2 days a night. F*** me. F*** me, you motherfucker. My mother. But you help me. Motherfucker you, huh? Oh, God. Give me the f*** name.
Charlie M.
Charlie M?
Charlie M.
Charlie M? Oh. You make me pop your f***ing eye out of your head to protect that piece of s***. Charlie M? You dumb motherfucker!
Joey.
You motherfucker! You! Frankie! Do him a favor.
Okay.
Okay, we're back. So why don't we go to our first caller? We have Harvey in Manhattan.
Good afternoon, gentlepersons. How are you both?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. First, I just want to say that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior.
All right.
And my question is about my little boy. He hangs out with other little boys, and they taunt each other about each other's religions, and there are occasions where I'll go into his room, and I'll find him literally, practically eating his own BM while he's listening to the Don and Mike show. And I was wondering if you think this is healthy for little boys to be doing this sort of thing.
How old is your boy?
He's 27.
Where's your BM detector now, see?
Oh, I don't know how you got that call through. I got it out there. I'm going to hang up on this guy. You know, we used to use a delay for morons. You know what? I haven't had a call like that in years because of call identifying. You'd think that the morons were gone.
Well.
Hi, friends.
Wow.
How about that opening today, huh?
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Stellar job today, I might add.
Wow. You're
welcome for an interesting beginning.
Well, we've got about 8,000 days, but we've got to figure out what's going to make the trip with us in 60 days to the new place.
Right. When they bring the covered wagon up here.
Here you go, Mike.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7
p.m. Or between 2 and 6 or 1 to 5.
And on the west coast,
it's noon to 4.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right, that's what we're on.
Hello!
I'm wearing
4 hours.
Hello!
Really 160 minutes.
Hello!
Minus the best part of the show. The commercials.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Wild.
We'll start with the heads, man.
Yeah, right. I'm pulling your wang.
Right, wild. Wild. Oh, look at him waiting at the door.
Oh,
I had to duck in here. How could we miss him?
He's mentally retarded.
How is my godson's hair?
Gone. How's your boring episode of The Sopranos? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Barbaro, and all the ships at sea. Back after a busy weekend of guarding our nation's borders.
Yes.
Don Geronimo and Mike Minuteman O'Mara.
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome to the militia, everybody. This is it, the Don and Mike Show. And it is a new episode on this Monday.
Rainy Monday.
Monday. 0508. Get this microphone to settle down. It's got a life of its own. 0508-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, Buzz. Here are the phone numbers you can call us on from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. Or you can call 800-636-1067. And if you're lucky enough to be listening to us on WJFK in Washington, you can call 202-432-1067. I think you know the rest of crap, right? And we're on iTunes for the podcast.
Right.
Go to iTunes.com and click on Talk Radio, about 100 episodes there. Yeah, we're on the intranet, finally, on the computer.
Yeah.
Go to our website, donandmikewebsite.com, and click right where it says Listen Live, and you'll get the stuff dripping on you, and that's our internet streaming.
Anyway, here we are, ready to do the show.
Hi.
I think I have some stuff dripping on me right now. I think it's coming off of this microphone windscreen.
Countdown to new studios, Mike. Remember that.
That's when we all have our own microphones, right?
That's right. That's
when you don't have to come in here and have a microphone that smells like a combination of marinara sauce, rotten tooth, and hot coffee. This is the most disgusting. I'm literally, I'm further away from it than I normally am.
Very soon, a month from now, it'll be just your marinara, just your coffee, just that's your best, spit on that microphone.
That's fine. I'll probably never have to change it.
That's why we're going to start cycling through some of these tapes so we get to see what makes the trip with us to the new studios in 2 months when we go digital, when we're going to lose all of these little cartridges. They look like 8-tracks, but you know, they're called carts. Here are the radio bills. Anyway, it's an antiquated piece of equipment.
Wonderful.
And we've got, I think, the capacity to store, I think, 4,000 tapes.
Wow. That's exciting.
On this new digital system. Very we've got to decide what goes, what stays, and there you end.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? On this Monday, how are you? Hope you had a blessed weekend, friends.
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Don't know about you, but here's how I spent my weekend.
Right. How did you spend your weekend?
I got into the truckster and drove wherever the sign said, yard sale.
Did you catch any good bargains?
Here's the thing, Mike. I guess this is what separates me from the other broadcasters out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
I wasn't really going to look for bargains.
What were you looking for?
Shake a few hands, hand out some business cards,
right.
And tell people about the Don and Mike show.
Did you get a chance to ask them what their favorite hit music was?
I low-key it. I low-key it. Only to the most exciting individuals did I dare ask about today's hit music.
What better way to know what's going on with your audience?
Lawn sales throughout the tri-state area.
You can walk up and say, what a lovely gun rack that you're selling for $5. What's your favorite radio station?
Really, it goes something like this.
All right.
Say, this fake Hummel, beautiful. It says 79 cents. That reminds me, I work on the radio. Hello, my name is Don Geronimo from the Don and Mike Show. I'm in the neighborhood saying howdy on behalf of all my friends. Here's my business card.
I suppose they don't notice you when you drive up in the station van.
I try to keep that on the QT.
With your picture on it.
I say, we'd appreciate if on Monday you flip your dial to 106.7 and tell your friends if it doesn't put a smile on your face and make you happy.
What a lovely yard sale, ma'am. I don't mean to brag, but take a look at that city bus over there. And I would love to buy your curio set.
Yeah, that's how I spent my weekend, going to yard sales.
Very beautiful smart. Weekend for us.
Spreading the word about the show.
Thank you.
Getting it out there.
Have a word, make a friend.
Getting it done. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Howdy. Very well, thank you.
Tell me, what are you guys doing for National Nurses Week?
We will be nursing each other.
I don't want to nurse with you.
Well, no, I thought that was the memo. I thought the memo that was coming out was that we were nursing each other.
Mike, I can no longer nurse you.
So after 20 years of every single year celebrating Nurses Day?
No, I've been dry. Think about it.
Oh, you've been dry the last 12 years. It doesn't stop the fun. You know what the fun is? The fun is trying.
That's right. You know, you're going to kid now. Hold on a second. I want to tell you something that I'd like to do tomorrow on the show. I was going to say a whole thing about here how I'd like to nurse, but you know that's my whole thing.
Yeah,
that's a turn on for me. Thank you for the call, my friend. I had a thought over the weekend, thinking gay as I always do.
Good. That's always a good way to think.
Or the hip word queer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, used to be a time that you said, "Hey, well, you're a queer." You might as well have just said, "Hey, you see sucker."
Right. Or the New England word that I heard this weekend from one of my golfing mates, fairy.
Hey, you fairy.
Right out of New England, too. Man, I'm putting like a fairy.
The all-time, you know, when you were a kid, hey, you Mo.
Mo, yes. Right.
Don't be such a Mo. Okay. Now, I've lived a life that's been full of ups and downs, and I've certainly got nothing like the track record of Buzz when it comes to swinging, but I'm not proud to tell you that at that one time,
I did a midget.
Yes, I remember.
When there were guys hiding in a closet, and they were not actually watching me like do it, because I had the covers up over the bed, but they wanted verification that I was actually... I did it for $50.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I was thinking about that. Is that gay? Well, I don't think that's gay.
No.
And then I started thinking a little bit more. Well, I definitely have been in the room with another guy while he's been, and while I've been,
Right. I think that happens.
Right. Is that gay?
I don't think that's gay.
What I ask all of you to do.
All right.
All of the alpha males. So let's see, that's me, you, him,
right.
And, everybody except Joe. Even Joe. And Joe, of course, would be like the caveman in this study.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your homework for tomorrow.
All right.
Seriously, think about it. What is the gayest thing you've ever done?
Okay.
And there will be, and please be honest, don't make anything up. It'll be totally anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. I mean, we'll know. We can play a game tomorrow on the air about it. If you're honest about it. And I don't want to tip my hand. I don't want to say anything that anybody might think, oh, that's a good one, or I had done it. But for instance, I've heard fellas watching films together.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, watching the films together the way that they would watch them by themselves.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's gay.
That's a good example.
Now, that's very gay.
I don't know if that's gay or not. And that's, will not be one that I use. That did not happen to me.
Right. Good example, though.
But,
a borderline activity.
We can go back as far as exploratory things when you were a child.
That's where I'm really thinking. Because
I mean, my memory is hazy from those days, but I know that there would be homoerotic excursions.
What got me going on this was I was telling somebody about my high school friend, whose name I'm not allowed to say on the radio.
Right.
The DOT guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who had, like, the closet homo thing in high school going. He wasn't gay. Again, the blanket, not that it matters. He was just horny. He couldn't find a girl.
Right.
So he had a guy, this other guy. And they would say DOT, which was
right.
Do Our Thing,
which was a purely homosexual thing.
Oh, it was, one would do the other.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, okay, you done? Okay,
yeah.
My turn.
Exactly.
And, of course, when we found out about it, we reacted. Well, much like the Sopranos did.
Yes.
Uncomfortable. With Vito.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have a working title for this? How gay are you?
The gayest thing I've ever done.
Just like, who's gayest? So think about it, please, and I'd like your answers tomorrow.
I have a public thing that you already know about that I did, but that was like paying a bet off, so I don't think that counts.
That does not count.
No, that doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count. Go back to the office and get yourself one of these beautiful lined or unlined on each side index cards.
Uh-huh.
Like your answers tomorrow, please.
Very good.
For the gay game.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that.
And then what we'll do tomorrow is we'll read them, and we'll let our listeners call in and see who is who. It'll be kind of a guessing game.
Yes.
And also kind of a truth serum game.
Uh-huh.
We'll see just how honest some of us can be.
Not comfortable with this.
Didn't think you would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of my motivation. Because I know that deep back in the recesses of your mind, back in the days in Connecticut, there had to be...
There was.
A touch, a squeeze, a kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, I know.
Well, not anything like that, but there was something.
I mean,
there's a secret.
Think about it. And I've got one that I think is particularly gross.
Mm-hmm. I just got. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the 24 hours to really, really think about it and remember. And remember, because it is somewhat repressed.
Yes, of course.
With the neighbor boy.
Well, now listen.
Very, very repressed.
Don't leave it in the locker room, please.
I'm not.
Save it for tomorrow.
I really don't even know what it is yet.
Save it for tomorrow.
I might have to get some psychoanalysis.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddies.
Hi there.
Not only have I been listening harder from 3 to 7 o'clock every day, I simultaneously play the amazing CD-ROM and watch Sex, Pies, and Videotape.
Wow. Oh, our fabulous award-winning ventures into other broadcast media outlets besides our conquering of radio are fabulous CD-ROM and ice game.
What would that game look like today? That game would be as tarred as it gets. That game, that CD-ROM game.
Can we play a game?
I remember you going. I'm like, I remember you on that thing going.
Bye-bye.
Look at the technology.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was then.
What was that? 10 years ago?
Longer than that, wasn't it?
A long time ago.
I think so.
But the videotape is equally bad. I mean, the videotape is funny.
Yeah.
Because it's got a lot of naked people doing Olympic games.
I would say the videotape stands up more than the CD-ROM.
But the problem really with the videotape, like everything, it's us. it's not who can do stuff naked. It's
right.
that we're there.
Yeah, that long jump will always stand up for me.
Mike, hold on a second. Hold on just a second. Buzz, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir. What you got?
Where's my vodka?
You said at the end of all that you were just kidding.
You knew I was.
And
you knew, of course. You knew, of course, when I said I was kidding.
Right.
That I really didn't mean I was kidding.
No, these days I don't know what you mean anymore.
So you really don't have the vodka.
I really don't have the vodka.
You really don't.
Did you say at the end of that you were kidding?
No.
Yes, you did. No, go back over the tape toward the end of our discussion.
I may have said I was kidding.
Right.
But I was counting on the fact that you are always eager to make everybody happy.
That's true.
And that you probably would have.
I took that into account.
You probably would have thought, well, you know what? Even though he said don't, I'll show him. I'll have it today.
I thought about that, and then I thought, but if I get it and I bring it in, he's going to yell at me and say, I told you I was just kidding, and not to bring it in.
I'll tell you why you were wrong.
Okay.
Not only had I thought that you would think that I would think, but I thought you would still bring it in. I would have chugged some right now, swear to God.
Really?
Would have opened the bottle, taken a couple of swigs, and gone, ah, that's how you do a show.
You were looking for your vanilla?
Yeah.
Your vanilla stuff you like so bad?
No, I'm not looking for it. I'm not searching for it.
That's what you wanted.
He knows where
some
is.
In my liquor cabinet.
Yes.
Yeah, only 18,000 bottles of it.
Right.
Anyway, I thought you would have it.
I knew you had plenty. You said you were just kidding, and I thought it might actually irritate you if I actually got it.
Tomorrow.
I wouldn't have forgotten.
Tomorrow, I will leave it up to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
So we're day by day.
Whether it shows up tomorrow or not. Okay?
Right. Very good.
What are you doing there, Mike? What are you doing?
Trying to get the pizza smell out of this windscreen.
It's a brand new windscreen.
Is it? Okay, good.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. This is Ty. I'm in California. How's it going?
Are you really going to bring me a bottle of vodka tomorrow?
If you want. Will you really drink it like you said you would today?
Well, today is today. Tomorrow's promise to no one, friend.
Yes, I know.
Hello.
Hey, guys. This is Ty. I'm in California. How's it going?
Hi there.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I was eating a banana for lunch while you guys started talking about your theme for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It was all I could do to choke that thing down.
Yeah, you know what that says to me? That's experience talking to you.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
You know what? That's a high school backseat experience talking to you, friend.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
You've had something else big in your mouth before.
No.
Yes, please. Come on.
Damn. All right, you guys have a good day.
Damn, right. Okay.
Have a good day.
Nice way to distance yourself from it. Damn.
Bye.
Try to forget about that banana.
That's a good... I find that that's a good answer whenever I'm backed in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that? Damn.
Guys, I was thinking about what you were saying, and I was just sitting down to enjoy my lunch of a banana, which I normally eat in one bite.
With plain yogurt. And mayonnaise.
Yes.
Damn.
I was just about to chug my banana.
Damn. God damn. Oh, settle down.
Settle down, Florida.
Come on.
Florida Evans.
Are you nuts? Hey, listen. First thing on the agenda today, really. This douchebag, David Blaine.
Yes.
We got to talk about this show that's on TV tonight. I don't think David Blaine is a real magician, and I don't try to come off as Penn Teller, who does the radio show before us,
right.
And is a friend of ours, and
Ben Gillette.
Penn Teller.
Uh-huh.
He's a real magician.
Yes.
So his opinion really matters.
Right.
I don't think David Blaine is a magician. He does stupid stunts that really don't make a lot of sense.
Penn speaks very highly of David Blaine, though.
The talk
I think. Or does he go back and forth?
He likes certain aspects.
aspects.
He likes certain aspects, doesn't like other aspects.
They're hyping this thing up. He's been in there. You've seen it. He's been in this plastic bubble underwater in Manhattan for, what, 9 days. Mm. And they think if they bring him out right away on TV tonight that he's going to pass out because he's going to be chained up and he has to hold his breath. So what they want to do now is get into this gigantic bubble that he's in and put the chains on him first.
Mm. There's a big article in the New York Daily News this morning about, you know, what's happening to him and how... including the fact that his back is breaking out with very ugly pimples, which may be a you know, result of the water. It all seems to me, we were talking about this before, to be the hype machine gone mad. You
maybe
know?
Maybe it'll end up being a great magic show. I don't think so. I think when they go down and they give him the chains underwater, which was something that they were not planning on doing before, if I'm reading everything correctly, that's where they're going to slip him whatever Mickey it is that they slip him so that he can pretend to hold his breath for 9 minutes. Now, let's really try this right now, one at a time, to see how long and you can hold your breath. Serious. I know this would not be good radio. Maybe we should all just do it together.
All right.
But try not to laugh.
If we all do it together, nobody will be talking.
We can play music.
That'll be dead air.
That is, well, that's a problem we'll have to live with, Mike. Okay, I tell you what. Mike and Buzz.
All right.
Go first. When each of you is out, please be totally honest, okay? Are you ready?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, don't do that. I'm going to do that, okay? To time. No. Okay. I'm going to do that to time. Are you both ready?
Ready.
Uh-huh.
On your mark, get set, go. Now, when you can hold your breath no longer, please say your name.
I'm out.
Mike has 5 seconds.
Whew, I'm dizzy.
Now, come on. Could you do it seriously?
Oh, okay. Take a drink.
We'll keep going with Buzz. Buzz is plus 5. Okay, Buzz is up to... there's the 30-second mark for Buzz. 30-second mark for Buzz.
Second.
Mike, no fair. No fair pulling out your myths so that you make him laugh. I mean, come on. I'm trying to have a real experiment here.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to have a real experiment. I'm
terribly sorry. God.
If he makes it to a minute, we have to check
so
his back.
So full of all these gay ideas and experiments
this
today.
This is not a gay idea. This is nothing gay about
this. Just trying to have a little fun, folks.
Nothing gay about this at all. This is simply, I find it impossible anybody other than Aquaman could hold their breath for 9 minutes, or Superman. Or someone of that ilk.
Can I try to put my fist in my mouth? There.
Okay, that would
That's
be
it.
106.
Very good. Hey, our call letters.
While seated. Could probably go longer standing.
Oh, see, I was going to stand.
All right, Mike, you ready?
You.
All right, you and I will go now.
Yeah.
If you and Rob will just chat it up. Ready?
All right.
On your mark. Get set. Now, is this fair for me? Because I've been talking the entire time.
You're standing.
Take a couple of breaths and get ready.
So that'll negate the talking
thing. We'll talk a little bit while you take some breaths, and then we'll give you a ready, set, go. And let me know when you're ready, and we'll get you started. My favorite way to do this is in a swimming pool. That's where I like to really practice holding my breath. Ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ready, set, go. Don and Mike are now holding their breaths to see how long they can hold them and who can hold their breath the longest.
Now, Buzz, you said standing makes a difference, does it?
Yeah, because your body's folded partly when you're sitting down, and you don't have quite the room in your body cavity, in your trunk, that you would have if you were, say, standing up or stretched out straight in a swimming pool, for example.
I have plenty of room in my trunk.
How long can you hold your breath, Rob? Have you ever counted?
I've never made it past 5 minutes. Now, I'm probably going to be horrible at this because I'm morbidly obese.
I think if I worked on it, I could do 2. I probably could do longer. I know once at the dentist when they were giving me laughing gas, apparently they have a device for measuring how much air you can hold in your lungs. And I remember the nurse saying, doctor, this man has an amazing lung capacity.
And you have the gums of a teenager.
Yes, I do.
I'm out.
Mike is out. We'll get his time in a moment. You writing it down, Don?
Don's writing the time while still holding his own breath. Mike is back.
Mike's score was 48 seconds.
So, Mike, are you dizzy?
No. I didn't do it right. I can do it better underwater.
Yeah, I think we all can.
But it's so easy to cheat underwater.
But, again, your body's...
So it's easy to cheat here.
I was joking.
Body's not as folded underwater.
Don is...
You're not under too long. Don's coming to the end here, I think.
Yeah, his eyes are bugging.
There he is. What do you get?
117.
Hey,
there
very
you go.
Good. Very nice.
Just when you think 7 or 8 or 9 minutes...
Right.
There'll be trickery involved.
Yeah.
There will have to be trickery involved.
Ready, boy? Let's bring you and your two retarded brothers in now.
All right. Here comes the family Houdini.
All right. You want to bring Joe and John in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Joe and John to the studio, please.
Come in slowly. Save your breath.
Oh. You can always rest assured on that one.
Key raised. Okay.
Hi. Here's John.
Hi, John.
Hello.
How are ye? And there, of course. There's. How you doing?
Oh, Joe.
How you doing, Otto?
Burp, burp.
Hello.
You notice the time frame as far as when they come into the studio? John's in here. He's, hey, come on to the studio, guys. Bingo. And then 5 minutes later, Joe comes in. Burps.
What were you doing, Joe?
Eating.
Ah! What were you enjoying?
Beanie weenie.
Rob. John. Joe. Close to the microphone as you can, possibly, please. I think we all did that, right? We all stood right by the microphone.
Yes.
On your breathe in. Are you all ready?
Yes.
Your mark. Get set. When you're out, say it. Go.
We're watching now. Now they all moved away from the microphone.
You've all got to stand by the microphone. Just like I did, just like Buzz did, just like Mike did.
Rob, John, and Joe now testing their lung capacity. How long they can hold their breath.
Well, you kind of got to be close. Well, okay. All right. I believe him. Here we go. So it's John and Rob's about to fade. Rob's indicating his heart's about to stop. Now you know what? He's playing.
Rob's
he's playing
us right both.
Now. He's playing us right now.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Joe, what do you do? Is that out or you're still in?
I'm out.
John's right. Out.
Wow.
At 39.
Smoker.
39. Now we're down to Rob and Joe. Rob's out at 45.
Non-smoker.
Joe?
Half smoked.
Come on, Joe.
Morbidly
good for you, Joe. Is that it? 55.
Yeah.
Joe, 55.
Well, I feel good now.
John? Hold it, maybe John. Okay, there you go. See, it's impossible.
Do you have rankings then?
We are all, as you can tell, highly trained athletes.
Yes.
we were out running laps before the show today.
That's right, or we could have done more.
Our cardio is beautiful, uh-huh. Yet the best we could do is just a little over a minute 15.
Right. I'd love to have a second chance. Is there any chance you give me a second chance
sure.
to do this?
Yes.
I really don't think, I think I can go a minute.
Okay.
I've done great underwater.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
I think you will do better standing. You want to try it standing?
All right. Okay.
Our total time is still under 5 minutes if you add up all our lungs.
All right,
like
just tell me when.
Mike, right. Microphone right up to your mouth, and go! Now, Mike is posed like Superman.
Right. He's the first one to try this standing, but I think it'll really help of us.
I was standing.
Oh, that's right, you were.
I was standing.
Oh, wow.
Mike's goal will be 1 minute on this.
Uh-huh. Mike wanted a second chance. The heart needs a second chance.
Oh, the second time around. And
it looks like he's having a good time.
Halfway to his goal. 30 seconds.
He's put himself into a kind of a sleep.
I'm going to turn Mike's microphone up very loudly.
How do you like the show today, everyone?
It's quieter than usual.
Mike is now tapping his feet.
Yep.
That's it. Time? What do you
50.
No.
I suck.
Wow.
Well, it was better than your other time.
Yeah.
It was 2 seconds better than your other time.
You get so standing didn't make a big difference.
I don't feel good.
Come on.
I don't feel good.
Come on.
I don't feel good.
You're just 3 seconds away from Joe.
Mike's going to have a little water.
Get some water, Mike.
I'm going to sit back down.
See what I'm saying?
And back
that David Blaine thing? You know what that is? That's supreme trickery,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, of course it is.
Supreme trickery.
There are people that hold their breath for a miraculous amount. They're called free divers.
Yeah, but he's not a free diver.
Like
he's
maybe 5 minutes?
He's not a free diver. He's a D diver.
Arnie.
He's an M diver.
He's a D. Yeah, I like to think of him going the other way.
D diver. Then he's an A diver.
Hello, thank you. Yes, he's an ass diver. Hello, Donna. My show is a butt pirate. Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, I was just. They've been saying all day that he's trying to break a record for 8 minutes and 58 seconds. It was already set.
Ah. Well, there's your record.
Well, maybe somebody really.
Yeah, and that's
did.
What it's. If he goes 9 minutes, he sets a new world record. We've said that.
I don't think that the other record was set like by a carny like
Dave Copperfielia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or excuse me, David Copperfield. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
I can hold my breath for almost 3 minutes.
Well, there would
I knew we were going to get those calls.
It would be impossible for us to gauge on the telephone.
You know, I will sit here and put my mouth right up to the phone.
You know,
the way to do it, really, the only real way to prove it is certainly not in here. The way to prove it is underwater.
Right, yeah. Get in a pool or have us dunk our heads.
Right.
In a bucket of water.
That would be the real way to do it.
I would not be too stupid.
That would be the real way to do it, though.
No leaks.
Well, my hair is not to be messed with today.
But, I mean, you actually could do it without your hair. You could do it with just your face.
Mike, I'm kidding.
If you got like a tub of water.
Yeah, you know, we need, okay, let's do it for tomorrow then. Like, get one of those like big, like bobbing for apples type tubs.
Right. And you just sit there and put your face
in. You'd be like Huey Lewis in the beginning of that
video. Don't even have to, your ears wouldn't even get
wet. Yeah, I mean, I was kidding about my hair anyway. What hair? I mean, yeah, sure. Get the tub tomorrow.
I think that's the foolproof way.
I think you're just a little upset.
I think I could probably... If I had it, I could probably swim like further than anybody on the show underwater.
Hmm. I got a pool. I would take that.
Do you do that in your pool?
Yeah, dude. The one thing about me that I mean, look at me. I'm still fat. I still weigh like 190 pounds. Mm-hmm. I run 3 miles a day, and 2 days a week I swim out there for 20 minutes a day.
It's not necessarily the in shape factor as much as.
Right
being
here,
able to do it.
Right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it happening. I would take that challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, and you know, in an athletic challenge, I would never take you on in anything. But in that, yeah. I would take you on in that.
Okay.
I think I would have a shot at that.
All right. No, let's do it. Let's do it like you give me some time to practice.
Okay.
Because you do have a pool. I realize that because you can practice now every day.
Yeah.
And I can't. Because I don't have a pool.
Pool's open. You used to have a pool.
Well, yeah, I know. You used to have a lot of things.
You used to have a pool.
You used to have tons of stuff. I used to be up to my ass and stuff. Don't have that stuff.
How about your little blow-up pool?
Yeah, and just go like swim around in it like a fish.
Circle.
Like a goldfish.
Who knows? And so, are we watching this idiot tonight? Or are we going to watch
it? What time is it on? Is it on at 8?
It's on at 8 till 10.
Oh, no, don't tell me it's 8 till... You know, no, I'm not going to watch it then.
No, and you know what? Probably
screw it.
It'll probably be built up until 10 till 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll TiVo it.
And it'll be on again.
Jesus,
on against 24.
Seriously, why can't they do an... That's going to be crap with some announcer. Is it going to be the guy? That guy that's on all the Evel Knievel stuff?
Well, I think that's a Fox guy.
You know, I saw an amazing, that I don't think anybody saw this, an amazing motorcycle jump that was hosted by Susie Colbert. It was on one of the high def channels. And it was he did the Evel Knievel jump, the one that Evel killed himself with practically, and Robbie Knievel did it successfully.
Caesar's, at Caesars, right?
This guy did it, but this guy did it and did a backflip.
Wow.
And landed it over the fountains at Caesar's Palace. And it showed me two things. First, how far the technology has come with motorcycles. And secondly, it just seems so much smaller the way this guy did it. But it was, you know, the chick that Joe Namath hit on that was the play-by-play.
Susie Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
Sexuality? Question mark. Susie Enigma.
Mm-hmm.
She is.
Right? Looks pretty good on this broadcast.
I don't know. I, you know what I think about her? Probably by... Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Well, that's exciting.
Bye-bye.
Interesting. I think straight les.
I would say bye.
And that's not as weird, did I, when I said straight les?
Yeah. That's all
no,
right.
But
we knew what you meant.
100% les.
Yeah, that's right.
I think she's a lesbian.
I would guess bye.
Anybody for hetero?
No.
Say hetero.
Well, come on. Okay. When's the last time you had sex?
God. Like, look at him with his mouth open.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Hey, why?
I know it's a sore subject. No, it's a sore subject, so to speak. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Like, that would have anything to do with it. When's the last time you had sex? Like,
if you could... The sexuality of Susie Colbert.
Like, you could
the
guess.
The last time
yeah.
I was with my wife.
Yeah, I know. It's a dumb thing to say, but that's what I do. Hello there.
Hi. The real reason that David Blaine is going to be able to hold his breath for 8 minutes or whatever...
9 minutes, honey.
...is because they're giving him pure oxygen through a tube, and it's not going to be recognized, like, worldwide. Or...
Did you see it on the internet?
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Wait a minute. They're going to give him pure eye. Explain.
You've seen it on Wikipedia? Uh-huh. Well, you know you can believe everything on Wikipedia.
So are you saying that his last breath before he starts holding his breath will be taken with pure oxygen?
Yes.
Ah.
Oh, so it will not be recognized as a world record?
Nope.
Well, now, Mike, this is according to Wikipedia.
Hmm.
You know, which, you know, for my money...
I think Wikipedia is wicked good.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is? It's MySpace with a little class.
Wicked good.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, honey.
Thanks
thank you.
That.
Thanks.
Bye! That
makes sense. The journey sings, you know, don't stop believing. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, yes.
I wanted to say I saw Jacques Cousteau a few years ago on TV, and he showed...
Oh, good. I'm glad you said on TV. Saw him. You know. What are you doing? What are you in the shovel business?
Voyage to the bottom of the dirt.
He showed a trick of how to hold your breath for real long underwater.
Uh-huh.
He said what you do is you inhale and exhale a whole bunch real fast till you hyperventilate and you feel like you're ready to pass out. Then you hold your breath, and you got overloaded your brain with oxygen, and he was able to hold his breath for like 6 or 7 minutes.
I feel like my brain has been overloaded listening to this droning call.
What? Jacques Cousteau, inventor of the aqualung.
Aqualung! Snot rubbing down his nose. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, boys.
Hello. Hi there.
I would put money on my friend Mike O'Mara underwater because fat guys, you don't screw with them underwater, dude. They're like walruses. They haul ass underwater.
Oh, thanks for the vote of confidence. And because you're a big man, too, aren't you? I can tell by the way you breathe into the phone.
Get out of here.
Hello, plus 36 pounds. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Show.
Thank Good you. Work. Thank you all.
Good Hello. Work.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I was wondering if you guys think that Susie Culver looks like Haley Joe Osment a little bit.
No, but Lindsay Lohan does look like Frankie Munoz, and that was Rob's. I saw a trailer for her latest film where she has the Frankie Munoz looks all the time.
I saw her on TV this morning being interviewed. Lindsay Lohan, to me, still looks like a younger Paula Abdul. What I mean is,
in what way? Because their coloring is completely different.
What I mean is, she looks like she's hot.
Yeah.
She's sitting there during this interview on the Today Show, and it's Matt Lauer who is, you know, virtually giving her a GYN exam.
he's the horniest one.
I'm here with Lindsay Lohan.
Well, I wouldn't have it any other way when they're interviewing any of the teen or the, you know, the young women heartthrobs.
So she's sitting there with her obvious balloons in her chest.
Right.
You know, those babies have to be fake. They're really big. And again, that's the Paula Abdul thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they start showing the tabloid headlines, you know, as they're talking to her, they're showing the cover of People magazine. And she, here's her energy level. He's saying, so Lindsay, you're in a movie with Meryl Streep and you're in another movie and you've got all these rumors. What do you say to your fans out there? Oh man, it's not easy doing a movie, but you know, And then he says, what about the Vanity Fair article? And they show the cover, say, where they allege substance abuse? Right on cue, she goes, well, I just think that, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And she's got that whole acid reflux sound to her voice.
Oh, yeah. She's just a little raspy.
I'm looking at her, and I don't get that one. I don't get that. Not that I wouldn't kick her out of my bed for eating crackers.
I don't think so.
But
I mean, why she's such an incredible icon.
And why they're treating her now like she's a real actress.
I don't either. She is a phenomenon of tabloid journalism.
Yeah. Right.
She is the darling. You know why she is? Because she's like Paris Hilton. Because for a while, she would always be seen. The people that get to that rise to the top as far as the, what do they call it? Is it the Q factor?
Right. The likability factor.
The likability where, you know, is if you're photographed and you show up. And with the craving that people have for these tabloids, People, Us, the Inquirer, The Star, all these magazines, if they show up at every party, they're going to get out there. And she was always there. What has Paris Hilton done other than show up?
Oh, hold on. I got some about Paris Hilton. Hello,
yeah, I'm going to get banged on a private video.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
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 Hey, speaking of Wikipedia, I fixed Rob's webpage today on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, we'll go see what you did on that later. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, you finally found that airbrushing guy.
Bye-bye.
It's been horrible up to now. Thank God he
punched it up for you.
And if you're any kind of a football fan, yeah, you know who this guy Matt Leinart is?
Yeah.
The quarterback for USC.
The darling of L.A.
Remember I told you the reason I was worried about this lad,
mm-hmm,
the reason that maybe his stock fell in the draft was that his best friend is Nick Lachey. Matt Leinart was drafted by the Cardinals, Arizona. Who wants to play there?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good place for him to go, right?
Yeah, it's close to L.A.
I wouldn't have drafted him because he's friends with Nick Lachey.
I saw him, speaking of the tabloids, saw a picture of him like walking hand-in-hand with Paris Hilton.
That's the news. They are an item, my friend.
Are they really?
And if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, you know what I say? Don't sign this contract.
Right.
You know, get this bitch out of your system. I mean, plus, I would say to him, seriously, you know, she's got Urlacher cooties.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm, she banged Brian Urlacher of the Bears.
She's not exactly discriminating.
Right. There was a game on TV a couple of years ago.
Imagine Ditka having him on in the fold, you know? Can't play football with a social disease, son.
There was a Bear game, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And, like, I'm in the stands. They go, oh, there's Brian Urlacher's girl. She's wearing his jersey. And, you know, they're just alluding to the fact that, hey, look at that stink he's getting. How about that?
Right.
You know, and Matt Leinart, that, if I was a pro scout, and normally they look for things like guys with criminal backgrounds or, mm-hmm, like whatever it is with Reggie Bush, if somebody bought his mom a house or something.
Right.
You know, or if they're with the wrong element. No, I would say, listen, you give me a gangbanger. You give me a guy from the U,
right,
that's been arrested 5 times for shoplifting at Dillard's. I'll take any of those guys over a guy whose best friend is Nick goddamn Lachey.
Well, didn't the whole thing start with a guy Palmer? Wasn't he the pretty boy that was on the reality show?
Carson Palmer?
Isn't that who that guy was? Wasn't he on? Uh-huh. Who was the guy that was on the reality TV show?
Gary Hogaboom?
No. Like Gary Hogan after he retired.
Oh, the third string guy for the Giants.
Who's he?
Quarterback.
I thought he was a Palmer, too.
You're right. You know what? Hold on. Jesse Palmer.
But, you know, you've answered my question because you just said third string. So the fact is, you know, sure, you can be on a reality show and be a third string quarterback, but maybe not a starter.
He's so bad, he's beaten out by the Hasselbeck that's not even the Hasselbeck.
Right. I mean, Tim Hasselbeck.
Yeah, in the Hasselbeck family now.
Aren't there 7 quarterbacks?
Really, but you have to put the chick in there. You'd have to say the chick from Survivor who's on The View now, she probably is more popular.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yes, she's more popular probably than Matt Hasselbeck, who was a quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Just never understood why Sports Illustrated never did a big feature article on the Hasselbeck sextuplets. All playing in the NFL currently. Very, very exciting.
No, so it's got to be her. And then the guy in Seattle, and then the guy for the Giants.
Yeah, and
on the Hasselbeck chart of who's the most famous.
But I agree with you about the fact that you know, this guy, it, just with Paris Hilton, the whole thing, just as far as distractions.
You know, plus I'd say,
I mean, isn't she? I mean, the bottom line, her lifestyle alone. This is the South Beach lifestyle. This is the go out at 11:45. I mean, 15 minutes before midnight. That's when your evening starts.
You're right about the disease. You know, I'd call him and say, "Listen, son, we are going to pay you $20 million to be the star quarterback of this team. I don't want you coming up to the line to call signals. You got to put your hand down your pants to scratch your nuts because you got crabs from Paris Hilton. Because you got Brian Urlacher crabs.
Sure. Man. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this guy, because that's all you do is you see him doing the idea. Well, you know, maybe if they get him out of L.A., they get him out of L.A., that'll change
them. Oh, what is that, like a 90-second flight from L.A. to Phoenix?
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? But it's not going to work if he keeps up that lifestyle. It's not. It just doesn't work in the NFL like that.
Plus, you know, I'm sure Brian Urlacher did. Not that thousands of other guys haven't, but he's an NFL guy. You know he did
terrible
everything for
terrible
her.
Things.
You know he used her like a toilet. God.
It just seems weird. It just seems... Nick Lachey, Paris Hilton,
and an
NFL quarterback.
Plus you give him the upper hand. I mean, what happens when you play the Bears? And the guy comes up to the line, Urlacher comes up and goes, hey, she stinks, doesn't she? I mean, literally. She says you're small.
Not good.
She ever call out my name? Brian Urlacher.
But how do you get the guy to, you know, well, I guess you can do a lot of things in the NFL. If you're a strong head coach, you can take him aside and say, you know, come on, son.
Yeah, no, they won't do it. No, they won't. Just thought it's weird. You know, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
Really? Why not just go out, get some VD, smear it on your genitals, you know, and then just go to bed.
You do have your pick when you are, you know, a quarterback in the NFL. You can date any woman you want. Right. You can get the wholesome, you can get beautiful, smart, everything.
He could get sheets of the highest thread count from India, the kind that Oprah dies for. But you know what he's with?
What?
He's with a plastic bed sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that you would find in a Motel 6.
Yeah.
That's covered with other people's DNA.
It's been used.
You could give Paris Hilton those CSI glasses.
Right.
That special lights.
You know, not to mention that Greek air stuff she's got on her.
Oh.
Stavros, Nikos, Nikolos, Vidios.
Oh, the other guy, Paris. Remember when they were Paris?
Paris Latkes.
Right.
Latke Gravas.
Oh, just by now it's
plaster apparently.
Yeah, it's dry on earth. What is that? A mole? Jeez, I don't know. It just won't come off.
Mykonos, Love Jusikos.
It's been there since that one night with Brian Urlacher.
I'll be very interested to see if he defies the odds, if he proves us all wrong.
Yep.
Does this guy have any chance to start in his first season in the NFL?
He's playing for the Cardinals, of course.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Got to break, everybody. Be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
The sum total of all of this is the case is over. And the operative words that everybody needs to understand here are not guilty. Not guilty. On Friday, I went over to the Palm Beach County Jail in the first step of a process to end this 2-year, 7-month investigation of me by the Palm Beach State Attorney's Office. It is now officially at an end.
Great big fart.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting Butterball Naked, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Nice. Just bleeding. Reset the phones, please. I can do it right here. Push that button.
Reset.
That button. And
reset.
There you go.
Oh.
All right. Phones are reset. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Don and Mike Show on Westwood One, brought to you by Head On. Head On products available without a prescription at retailers nationwide. Try Head On today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Head. Don't forget tomorrow, your gas stories.
That's right.
Please be honest. Go into the deepest, darkest recesses of your mind and other orifices.
Oh, I got it. I got it locked.
I got one that's not good. It's probably going to scream me. Just because, well, I can't tell you why, but
right. I know it'll be filled with innocence.
Find out tomorrow.
That's right.
We'll decide tomorrow.
Wide-eyed naivete.
Who's the gayest? Who's the gayest? Okay, the weekend. I had a good weekend, and I'm going to start saying that I spent some time this weekend with my sister-in-law Judy, who is really, as they would say in Fargo. A really special lady, special gal. She's a special gal.
Good.
My sister-in-law, and we talked a lot about, you know, because she lost her husband 6 years ago.
We're
talking about stuff, and the very first thing, she came over to the house, and she said, "How you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing pretty good, considering." And she said to me, "Why do you qualify it with considering?" She said, "Doesn't everybody know that what happened?" I mean, and really, she kind of opened my. She's, you know, don't feel guilty about saying that you're doing okay. Frida would want you to do okay. She would want you to be happy, and
that's kind of neat. I mean, she's got the perspective on it, and you know, I hate to say you're fortunate to have somebody that's gone through that, but you are.
I absolutely am. I'm not going to go on and drone about this because who really cares about this? But you know, she put some things in perspective for me. Like she's because you know, I said, well, like when I see people sometimes, they still come up and go, how are you? And she said, because she's been through it, she said, you got to understand from their perspective, you know, they think about it, then they don't think about it. Then right. they think about it, then they see you, and it's like there. She says, what they don't know is you've been through it every single goddamn day. She didn't say goddamn, but that's the way I speak. Mm-hmm. Every goddamn day, when you get to a point where, and for me, it was like 6 or 7 months, you just say, you know, Jesus, no, I'm going to try to be happy, and so I'm going to try to stop qualifying things. You know, but saying, you know, I mean, no disrespect to Frida, but my life has to go on.
Right.
You know, she's the love of my life, but what has happened, and everybody just got to deal with it. I don't mean that the harsh way it sounds.
No,
just
in
mean
their
it,
own way.
It's a fact of life.
Right.
And
so do you look at her, do you get a lot out of her as far as a learning, you know,
yeah.
learning curve as far as having, I mean, she's been there, done that.
Yes.
I mean, amazing.
Absolutely.
That's,
she has.
That is amazing.
She's a good sounding board. She just came down. She had, you know, the unenviable job of bringing some of Frida's belongings
mm-hmm.
over. So, you know, we went through it and we talked about stuff and she's cool. So, yeah, it's like, you know, did I have a good weekend? Yes, I did. Yes.
Good.
I had a very good weekend.
Excellent.
Saturday, I had the experience of feeling like an alcoholic. not that I'm not already there. But I'm very OCD in my way of getting things done.
Right.
There are things that I need to do, and on Saturday and on Sunday, those are my days to go to the store and do all the crap that I need to do. Because I don't like interacting with people. You know the whole Howard Hughes thing about me, the whole just stay away from me thing. So and no offense, it's the weird way that I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, oh, liquor store opens 10 a.m. Beautiful. I got to run some errands. I'll be there.
You meet the nicest people at that grand opening of the liquor store.
Well, this is what I was about to tell you. I've never been through this. Now, I got there at 10 till 10,
mm-hmm.
and I walked over to the grocery store.
Right.
Now, I'd already been to a grocery store. My car was full of groceries.
Killing time.
Yeah, so I walked in there. So, nothing I missed.
You weren't waiting outside the door, were you?
No, I wasn't, but I did notice that there were four people that were.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I thought, as this is like 9:56, I'm looking at my watch going, well, those people feel like I do, that they'd like it to open. I said, but I'm not like them.
Right.
I'm just going to hang back. So there were four people actually standing there, and one woman...
Did you see him after you went into the store?
Yeah, hold on.
I just wanted to know if any of them bought those small bottles.
Well, yes, that story is coming. So
not that I know.
So there's a woman who's standing, like, right at 10 o'clock,
yeah.
starts doing this.
Rattling the door.
So the guy comes and opens the door, and the four people that had been standing outside, not afraid to hide the fact they're waiting for the liquor store to open at 10 a.m.,
right.
they go in, and then all of a sudden, it's like something from a science fiction movie, where people start appearing out of everywhere. I think I'm the only guy hiding, and as it turns out, everybody's hiding. There's a mad rush, really, 10 people at once.
Do you think it's the fact that it's a liquor store, or do you think it's the 10 o'clock opening time?
I think yes and yes.
Okay.
Because this is how you find the people that you're talking about. The people that were standing right out front, and I watched. And I can tell you that there's no profiling here.
In and out in a very short time, right?
There was two black guys, two white guys.
Right.
Those four guys. Oh, and the woman.
Right.
She was black. So that's three blacks, one white. But still,
right.
they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
These people. The first five that got into the store,
mm-hmm.
they immediately went and bought, not the airline bottle, but like the bottle that looks like
a pint bottle.
A bottle of Vitalis.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
For those of you back in the day.
I've seen this done before.
And it was like all five of them. And it's like, I don't know what kind of booze it was that they were buying, but it was like, okay, that'll be 82 cents for the vodka.
Wow.
And then after that, you had the people like me, your heavy-duty vets, who are there to buy for, okay, let's say a week. Let's wink and say I'm buying a week's worth.
I think the word might be maintenance.
Yeah.
Just restocking the bottle.
Yes.
You're maintenance drinkers.
Yeah. Because, you know, and also, I'm a hoarder. You know that about
me.
Yes,
you are.
I really like having...
So, do you have a full bottle at home? Was there any real need for you to go to the liquor store?
No, I had two full bottles. And not the stuff that I don't like. I had two full bottles. But they were a brand that that I don't really like.
Not gotcha. Your favorite.
So, I thought, well, you know, if I'm ever going to go out and do this. So, I go to the store and I buy, you know... three bottles, three big, like, two-liter bottles of
right.
this vodka. And the guy behind me is obviously buying for a party, and the guy behind him, I guess, is like me, just is stocking up. And it just was incredible that at 10 o'clock, I guess it was like it was almost like when you're staring at one of those pictures where it looks like a bunch of dots, mm-hmm. and if you look at it long enough, you go, oh, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the skyline to New York City. I get it. It's like if you looked at the picture at 9:59, you would say, there's four people standing directly in front of the store.
Is anybody dressed up?
10 o'clock?
I'm just curious.
No. And, no, and as a matter of fact,
even the people looked like they were having a party because they had a big drinkathon out where I live.
There was
the Gold Cup, you know, where all the people go to watch the horses and drink.
Yeah.
There was nobody nicely dressed. They were all just like me, scummy, and, you know, it was like 70 degrees, so a lot of guys, you know, who obviously hadn't bathed.
Right.
You know, myself included.
They sell a lot of those little bottles there, I think, early in the morning.
They do. Well, they sell big bottles, too.
You know. Now, why do the little bottles sell so well when the store first opens?
Because the people that are buying the little bottles, Buzz, are going to open them and start drinking them by the time their feet
are
dry.
Well,
I figured that's why everybody would
And that's the happy end of the story,
right. Yes.
Is that when the very first lady got her bottle, she broke what I like to call the McDonald's rule.
Oh.
Now, it's just me. It's just me.
Okay.
I know that everybody does this. It pisses me off if I'm in a McDonald's, Burger King, whatever. They bring the food out, and so you're going to eat it
right,
there.
Right.
They bring the tray out, you're paying the money.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start eating the French fries right away. It's like, hey,
hold on,
piggy. Pay first.
Right.
Just pay. What, you're so freaking hungry, or what, they're so good
that
you just have to eat them immediately in front of everybody, and don't stuff your mouth. I said this to my chick, to Adrian, at the movies on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. She got the popcorn, right? And I said, excuse me. When's the last time you ate? And she said...
Oh, wait. Eating popcorn before you get in there?
When you're standing there at the concession
place. Oh, that's a different rule.
The counter.
Same difference.
That's not the same as the McDonald's rule.
You know,
if you don't eat it, the popcorn will fall out.
Yeah, you're trimming. Yeah.
You know what? Please, allow the kernels to fall on the floor.
All right. So you don't, like, take a munch or two on the walk to the theater from the concession stand?
Jesus,
you're
no.
a taskmaster.
No.
Is that what your chick was doing?
Strict.
Yeah, so what I said to her is, I said, hey, knock it off. She said, what? I said, how desperate are you to eat that popcorn? She said, what do you mean? I said, when's the last time you ate? She said, I don't know, 5 hours ago.
She's hungry.
Can you wait until we get in the theater? Can you keep it in your pants until we get in the freaking theater?
All right, I'm going to say that I agree with you on McDonald's, but as far as movie theater, that's your whole food touching thing.
Yeah.
That's just
Rob from the back here, Rob.
It's not a food. Everybody eats popcorn on the way from the concession stand to the theater.
It's just like the McDonald's thing. It's the same thing. You freaking pigs! I'm not a germaphobic,
right.
But I don't want some guy dipping his hand into his popcorn, picking his nose. That thing is already a gigantic petri dish anyway.
What does it have to do with that?
Have some discipline.
That's it.
It's one of the things that I do that drives Carrie crazy.
Have some discipline.
That you eat the popcorn on the way into the...
Not just that way, but I pick it up with my tongue. And she says,
you
know what?
Lick the popcorn.
She says, you've done that since we were dating.
You literally will bring the box of popcorn and
like
and
a lizard
it.
Might.
Oh, my God. That
Did
is
you know
gross.
That sticks to your tongue? If you
Are you planning on sharing it with her?
If she wants any.
that takes care of her wanting
it,
right?
I just spit in there.
Oh, my God.
I've done that.
Wow.
But, yeah, I do that now just to annoy her. It's tradition.
Hold on. I forgot what the point was about.
You were talking about the lady and the booze. You said the lady that bought she broke the McDonald's rule.
Thank you. So, the McDonald's rule. As she pays her, whatever, $2.99 for the bottle.
Right.
She's not outside the door because it's got the ding-ding thing when you walk in and out. She takes it out of the brown bag, takes the top off, and starts doing a little list. Meanwhile, Hector behind the counter says, No.
Right.
No.
Wow.
No, not in store.
That's
so
scary.
So she was waiting. She could not wait. She broke it was the McDonald's rule.
Couldn't wait till she got out.
That is very scary.
Right. And then even when I'm persnickety. When I get to the theater, it's my thought.
It's nice, though, to be scared of somebody else's behavior and not my own.
Yes.
When I get to the movies, and I have popcorn like I did when we went to Mission Impossible, my thought is, why waste it during the commercials and during the coming attractions?
Yeah.
I like saving the popcorn for when the actual movie is coming on. I mean, now you're looking at me like I'm saying something totally
that's
retarded.
That's insane.
That's very hard to do.
That's insane.
Are you insane?
Are you insane, Jack? You can't have a few kernels prior to the movie beginning?
Do you think he'll be on tonight? Do you think that he'll
I don't
be,
think so.
Devane is dead
I
on
think
24?
They're going to do what they say they do on 24 all the time, which is they move by on the plot. They don't actually, they'll just gloss over something that happened.
Have you ever been able to finish a movie popcorn? I mean, like, you're afraid there's not going to be any left by the time the
sure.
movie starts? Really?
Sure. The point is, if I'm going to go to a movie for an hour and a half,
right. mm-hmm.
and that's how long, like, Mission Impossible is, I mean, why sit there? Again, there are lights on. There are house
lights
on. It
is amazing discipline.
There
it
are,
is.
No, it's,
very
no,
impressive.
It's not really discipline. It's the fact
if you're
again,
hungry for the popcorn
but,
to sit through the previews.
But people
Jesus.
Are sitting there. You know, do you ever take the time, as I do, to watch your fellow moviegoer in the Sometimes. 20 minutes before when the house lights are not all the way down yet? Have you seen the gluttons that people are? Is it, of course, there's no decorum there, and who cares because you're in a movie theater.
Right.
But, I mean, really, just open up that box of snow caps. Why pour them into your hand? Why not just pour the whole goddamn thing into your mouth? Why not shove an entire hot dog down your mouth? Go ahead. Who cares if the ketchup is dripping on your shirt? You know.
Do you want to have food left, like, towards the end of the movie?
I'd like, ideally, yes. I'd like,
oh
I'd like
God,
the popcorn to last
I
the movie.
I have. I mean, I
no.
haven't.
And you don't want your nachos to get cold.
You know, and you know I've got issues. Rob, you know I've got issues with serving real food in movies.
I know. I was just baiting you. I'm evil.
I'll allow.
You know, I'm boy, I tell you, I was with you with the McDonald's, and now we're parting company on almost
kingdom,
everything.
Yeah.
You're against movie nachos.
I would allow hot dogs. And only the. Only
Not
on,
nachos?
Only on kiddies matinees on Saturday.
Hot dogs.
Theater down the street does sushi.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Isn't it?
I'm sure that's safe.
I think it's great.
You mean the Cinema Deluxe?
Yeah. They, you know, the Fairfax Cinema.
Oh, that's great.
Cinema
the
Queer.
The
but they actually have a full size. So you can get chicken, you can get everything.
Wraps, whatever you want.
But you're against real food in the movie theater now?
Oh, no. You know what I think? I think the next time I go to a nice dinner restaurant, a nice, you know, dress-up place, or even a casual place.
Dinner restaurant.
Yeah, dinner restaurant.
I'm going to go to the dinner restaurant.
They should be showing us a fine film there while I'm eating.
Well, I think it's the combination of eating and watching something is very American.
Yeah.
Some of the seats even have mini tables, so you can put your food on it.
Okay.
Very,
that's,
very
that's
cool.
That's great for you bottom feeders out there. I like a more disciplined, not disciplined.
Right.
I would.
Well, with the popcorn, you're right. It's discipline.
It is.
But it's also, it's decorum. It's just, come on, have some consideration.
So you, what you're saying basically is you dine in a certain environment and you watch a movie.
And yeah, and you,
in a way, you're a movie purist.
And listen,
that's right.
And I don't bust anybody's balls for eating food, like, during the previews. I mean, I don't turn around and go, hey, will you stop that?
No.
But inside, I'm saying.
Personally, you'd hate what Carl and I do in the movies.
And the thing is, it's not that I even mind it. It's just you hear it, and then you turn and look, and it's like people forget when they're in a theater.
You know,
they think they're at home, and you get this. You get the guy. Hold on, Michael.
Right.
Give me one second.
Okay.
You get the guy like this.
All right, you're
really,
rolling now.
You get the guy like this. He's in the chair.
Uh-huh.
He's on the aisle.
Sure.
And before the movement starts, he's got his feet up on the chair in front of him. And he's sitting back like this. And he doesn't give two rat's asses who's watching him. He's just sitting back there like this.
Wow.
And laying there. I mean,
yeah,
literally laying there, like, got the nachos on his knee, got the popcorn in his lap, mm-hmm. got the milk duds in one hand, got the Mountain Dew in the other, and it's a race to get it all down to his colon before the first actual movie ad starts.
Well, you can't begrudge the guy. He just spent $250 on food.
Well, that's just me. That's a moment I had at the theater with Adrian about the popcorn.
Wow.
But
Carl and I have been known to go into the theater with contraband Subway subs.
Huh?
Because, you know, well, if it's a weeknight, we meet after here, that's dinner.
Right.
See, that's okay.
That is okay. I'm frankly surprised.
In my world, first off, there's nothing wrong. Again, as long as you're talking about the world according to me.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with bringing your own food in the theater, because they rape you on the prices of the ticket, and they'll say that that's because the studios charge them so much to show the movies.
Well, that's also a calorie issue, that particular sandwich I get there is a certain type of...
And the only reason that they can make money is, you know, to get a 14% box of candy and charge you $2.50 for it.
What I'm surprised...
So I say smuggle it in, bring it in.
I'm surprised you didn't mention this.
That a lot, too.
During the movie, opening the cellophane candy wrap. And really, there is no noisier product to open than the cellophane-wrapped candy boxes they sell.
Again, that's why if you simply use your friggin' brain.
Common sense.
When you sat down during the commercials, during the ads, unwrap your food. Do the stuff you gotta do.
Fun facts. I believe all popcorn should be consumed before you see directed by...
Okay. That's great.
That's I'll choke on a kernel.
Why go to the movies and have popcorn at the movies? Why not just say, hey, I'm going to go have some popcorn and watch Coming Attractions?
I've really never finished the popcorn during Coming Attractions. That's impossible. Because I get the extra tub. Well, everybody does. I mean, do you know, a small movie popcorn is really like a large popcorn.
Well, you know, everybody is going, I see all the lines ringing, and I don't mind being the one guy who knows how to act at a movie theater. So I'll take whatever slings and arrows you want to toss my way. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Eric from Baltimore. How you guys doing?
Hi, Eric. We're doing great, thank you.
I was in the movie theaters with my wife and her father a couple months ago. We were in Hawaii, and someone was unwrapping a candy bar behind him.
Hold on. I got to stop you right there. You're in Hawaii? And you went to a movie?
No.
What the hell are you going to a movie for in Hawaii?
We're there for like 5 weeks. We got married down there.
Okay. Oh, 5 weeks. Okay.
Back off, man.
It's got rain once in a while, right?
Back off.
Just checking.
So this person's unwrapping his candy bar.
When I was in Hawaii with Frida before we had Bart, I must have spent, I'm not kidding. I don't know. We had like a week there. I spent 5 hours a day. TV.
Strikes me as just kind of an outdoor place.
Yeah, it's Hawaii. Crazy. I've done it lots of places. I've been at some of the most beautiful locations in the world, and the most important thing has been, well, where's the TV?
It's different, though. It's different.
In Hawaii?
Holding up in your room is much different than actually going out to a movie, something you can do in any town in America. Mm. It's a little different. But this guy gets a free pass because he was there for 5 weeks.
Right.
So you get bored after 5 weeks
and
anyway.
Somebody started unwrapping candy.
So we're sitting there, and this person's unwrapping this thing of candy, and he turns around and takes the candy away from the person behind us and unwraps it for him and hands it back, because this son of a bugger couldn't open the thing of candy, could not open the candy.
Some people opened it, I know, it's a pisser.
Some of the candy and gave it back.
It's a pisser. Thank you. Bye-bye. See ya.
Americans love packaging.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there. Howdy.
Hi. I've been to a couple of movie theaters in Europe on business travel, and they sell beer and wine at the movie theaters.
Okay, well, good. Well,
now we're getting somewhere.
See ya. Parlez-vous français.
You'd like that. Wouldn't you like that little potty as the movie starts?
I want to be clear-headed when I'm watching my film.
That's right. Clean and
clean. Wow. No, I wouldn't mind a drink. And, you know, and I've done that, too. Hell, Fred and I, you know, back in the day before it became politically correct, all of this, you know, driving around with beer in your car, that would be a date. We would have a couple of beers, drive to the theater, go in the movie, have four beers while the movie's on, then have a couple of beers and drive back home.
There you go.
It's cute. Perfect night.
It's
now,
nice.
The only thing about the movie... Oh, that's a thank you, Rob. Right. Back when DUI was legal.
That's right.
Years ago.
Those were the days.
Good old days.
Don't do that anymore.
I know you think that I make up stuff about the movies and the people that talk. And I really don't want to put my chick on the radio because that was Frida's whole thing. And I'm not going to do that. But she would verify this, and it happened to her. And I used to think that it was just me, like the Shell No Pest strip, with people talking in the theater. This is a showstopper. It involves her. Not me.
Wow.
We're discussing when we're going to go see Mission Impossible. We had a beautiful weekend here in D.C.
Yeah.
Very nice. And you're talking about someone going to the movies in Hawaii. Why would you go when it's so beautiful outside?
Yeah, but you do here. I mean, that's okay.
And anyway, she said, why don't we go like to a 4 o'clock show? Because everybody's going to be outside enjoying the nice weather and it won't be as crowded. I said, all right, good idea. Go to the 4 o'clock show, and goddamn if she's not right. It's not crowded.
Cool.
It's mainly adults.
Right.
Nobody with, you know, hats on backwards. it's a nice crowd. You know, I've got my usual nitpicky thing about, like, you know, slobs eating and stuff.
Right.
But I'm okay. As the previews start up, she says to me, and I didn't hear this, and I've got, like, spidey sense hearing. She says, I'm not effing you. I say, what? She says, I'm not effing you. There's a baby in this theater. And I said, I have not heard a thing. And I looked, I looked around and I said, sweet, I don't hear anything. She said, I'm telling you, this is going to ruin the movie. And I said, boy, now I feel like I'm sitting next to me. A couple seconds go by. Now people are talking and they're running the commercials.
Right.
She says, she's up, looking up like a dog who's hearing. She says, there are two babies in this theater.
Two?
There are two babies in this theater. And I said, you are nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I said, nobody is better at this game than I am. I said, and nobody.
You're the one with the superhuman hearing.
Nobody has a thinner skin for people talking. And I said, no way. And next ad starts. And if you've been to the movies, it's the one with the, it's for American Express, the where the director of the movie, I don't know, the Wes somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad commercial. It shows him going from site to site on his whatever movie he's directing. It's a commercial for American Express.
Right.
But during this thing, which is not exceedingly loud, I hear from the back of the theater.
Yeah, that's what you get at a 4 o'clock movie. Though.
She says, there are two babies back there.
Baby.
I said, I only heard one. And then I hear, you're going to have to help me out. Mm-hmm. Then I go, I hear.
Sorry, I get.
At this point,
I wanted to get my satanic baby there.
At this point, she turns around and she shoots a look that is, I don't even see who she's looking at because I've not been able to, you know, I just heard it. I don't know who she's looking at. It turns around, and I said, what are you doing? She said, they've got to get those kids out of here. You cannot bring babies to a movie. She said, there are two of them. I told you there are two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, maybe they'll be cool. Well, during the coming attractions, the babies were crying.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, somebody got up and took one of them out, so there was just...
Good thing to do.
There was just one baby that was just kind of like...
Fussing a little. You go to a movie with an infant, the rule is you're taking a risk. And if the baby is going to fuss, you have to leave. That's
now,
it, bottom line.
I did say to her, I said, you know, I think it's a pisser, too. I said, but... You know, I was there with Bart with Frida. I mean,
yeah,
you reach
I was
a point,
there with my kids.
You know, where else are you going to take them? You're not going to take them to a 7 o'clock movie. And she said, "Okay, I just want you to know it's going to piss you off."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, it hasn't pissed
you
me off.
You hope that they fall asleep.
Hasn't pissed me off yet." Movie starts. Babies are still crying. They bring the other one back. The babies are chatting. They're chatting. It's like now happy baby chatter.
Right. But these are infants we're talking about,
yes.
Right?
She says, "I got to go to the bathroom." And I said, don't. Please don't. I said, come on. I gave her the whole, I said, you know what? People are going to know who I am. Please, like, don't make a scene. Please. She said, I swear to God, I have to pee. I swear to God. I said, okay. I turn around and watch the movie. The dialogue going on. Tom Cruise is doing whatever he's doing. I hear this from in the back of the theater. Ow! Ow! Now it's Adrian. She goes, ow! I turn around, I look, and she says, as loud as can be, not only do you have two babies here, you have two other children who are in strollers.
Mm-hmm.
I just tripped over the stroller, and now my foot is hurt.
What have I been saying?
Okay, Buzz.
I've been saying this for years. The strollers, the bane of us all. You always said the strollers.
I hear this.
Uh-huh.
I hear this.
Good for
and now I know what it must be like to be with me. Because I slink down the chair a little bit. And she leaves and goes to the bathroom. And she comes back and she sits down. And she just looks at me and she says, you know what? I go, what? She said, I told you, not only two babies, there are two other children. And it seems to me that they are old enough that they don't have to be in strollers. They're old enough. They're crawling around back there. They're talking. They're taking over that entire.
So she is like you.
She said,
she's taking the heat off of you.
She said, at one point she said, go look at that. Look where those strollers are. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, my foot hurts. Look at that. Look at how they're double parked. So now I had to do the lean around.
Okay.
While the movie's on, I got to wait for a spot when there's a very bright scene, like something is blown up.
Right.
So,
right,
you know,
yeah.
So
the
you
light of the theater.
See the back of the theater.
Right. Right.
So I turn around like this, and I say, you know, goddamn, if she's not right, there is, and everybody's seen him, the stroller for two kids.
The double wide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've got it half in the aisle.
Of course.
And the other half, which is actually a full stroller, is sitting in the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And this one of the kids is, like, climbing around in this.
Like, kill us all.
She could not stop fixating on this through the entire movie.
Good for her.
The kids were pretty quiet. The babies were quiet. You could hear them talking.
Sure.
But the whole time we were watching the movie,
it was the stroller issue now.
She just kept saying, you know, babies should not be allowed in here. I would say, okay. And then it would be something like, do you think that Philip Seymour Hoffman is in on it? Or do you think? And she'd go, damn, my foot really hurts. I'm not kidding. God, that stroller really hurt my foot. Like, would you let it go? So the movie stops, and the lights come up. And now I know how Frida felt, because I thought, I don't want her to go up.
Yeah, this is the fist fight.
The reversal
now,
for you.
Now the lights come up, and I stand up, and I finally see the people who I guess were at the rally last week.
I wasn't going to say anything.
It's a wonderful Hispanic family.
Uh-huh.
And, yep, it was, they were all there. I mean, you know, it was like going to the DMV, because there was a grandma, mm-hmm. there was, I guess, an aunt,
right.
a couple of ganged up teens,
sure.
and then you had the two that had just been squeezed out, the babies, and
right.
the two more, and you know, I just said to her, I said, don't, just please don't. She said, I just think they should know about my foot. And I kept saying, you know, would you stop it with the foot?
Right.
Okay. Well, let's fast forward to about 13 hours later
mm-hmm.
when I get a phone call.
Yeah.
Hello? I said, hey, what are you doing? He says, well, I just had a nice trip to the emergency room.
Oh.
I said, oh, really? Why is that? He said, oh, my foot. Little thing called bone spur in my
mm-hmm.
foot
mm-hmm.
from running into that stroller.
Oh, my right. goodness.
Doctor says I reached... She's got to wear a boot.
Oh, no, really?
Well, they gave her two choices.
Wow.
She could either wear a tennis shoe,
right.
and then she's a businesswoman, so she doesn't want to wear a tennis shoe, or she wears, like, a retarded booty.
Which boot. Says, my foot is hurt.
So she has to wear a retarded booty. And it's really because of the stroller.
The stroller,
and,
huh?
And that's really because of the talking in the movie
oh,
with the baby.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I couldn't help but say
well, you found a kindred spirit as far as
yeah.
the movie talkers.
I said to her, you know, if you...
And you weren't the culprit this time.
I was not, but I did say to her, you know, if you had not made us spend extra time down at the concession stand when you were eating, you know, standing there eating and had to... And also, like, they don't put enough salt on that, you know. She stands there and just... Pours it. I mean, you know, because she didn't care about her weight. She's in great shape. She's
mm-hmm.
pour, I'm like, looking at my watch going, hello, movie's about to start, please. And I said to her, really.
For God's sakes, don't eat it on the way into the theater.
I really said to her, I said, you know, if you would not have taken all the extra time in the concession stand, you know, calling the people by their names, you know, which, you know, I think I found another one like Frida. So polite, like when, you know, oh, hello. Raheed, how are you? You're going to look like, why are you asking this stoner his name? And it's, when you put the butter in, can you put it in the middle and then put some more on top? And
to the top, please.
I'm looking at her like, you know, this guy can barely wipe himself. Please don't ask him these things. So as we were leaving and she was saying this thing about the foot, then the next day when she called me, she told me that, you know, her foot, she has to wear a footy. And I said, if you hadn't taken so much time at the concession stand, she said, what could that possibly have to do with my foot? I said, aha. Anyone who knows me knows my favorite side of a movie theater is the right side. I said, I generally like right side, halfway down, aisle seat, on the right side. I like being right on the aisle, on the right side.
Where did you end up parking?
Right side, because we walked in as the previews were starting.
Right.
Right side was jammed. We had to sit on the dreaded Unlucky left side.
And that's why, that's where the stroller was, and that's where the foot injury took place.
Because that's where the handicaps, the handicapped spots are, yeah. And that's where the family had
well,
kind
that
of
logic,
planted
she,
them.
She might just someday stab you with a dinner fork. That might totally happen. That might very well happen.
I hope she joins my anti-stroller campaign.
No, there, Buzz, you're vindicated.
I am very excited.
All your anti-stroller
talk. But I got to tell you one more thing, just one more thing from the weekend, and I do need some help about this. She's also smart like Frida in this regard, that there are bees.
Bees! They're ripping my flesh off!
I've got some bees around certain spots in my house. I mean, not inside the house,
right.
Outside.
Of course.
And I keep saying to her whenever she's over, you know, I got to get like some of that shoot the wasps stuff.
Right.
So she said, have you noticed that they're like coming in and out of seems like they're coming out of the wall. And I said, you're nuts. They like swimming around by the cherry blossom tree where
right.
they get all their nectar and everything. Well, she calls me out and she says, hold on, look at this. You see this? This is a hole. I said, oh, come on, it's a tiny hole. Well, she goes up to the internet and she goes back down. And goddamn, if what I don't have is carpenter's bees.
Yeah. Ah. Are they carpenter ants or carpenter bees? Flying ants?
Carpenter bees.
What are they building?
And the reason that I don't think anything about them is that they don't look like wasps or anything. They look like, you know.
Regular bees?
Regular bees,
right.
Which I think are, you know, they pollinate. They do whatever they do.
Bee flesh eating.
Yeah. Anyway, as it turns out, we walked around and there's like eight of these holes, and she did the stuff on the internet and found out that. Now, why did you cue me to play this?
Carpenter bees.
Oh, the carpenters.
Oh. Hold up. Yeah. You know, now we got to get the puke sounds back. Because the fart sounds don't work.
Oh,
right.
My God.
Talking to myself.
No, would you get out of here?
Carpenter bees.
You stop it. That only works with vomit.
He's always thinking.
Anyway, what they do is they burrow a hole into the wood in my house. In the outside of the house.
Right.
And what they do is they go inside and they make a canal. And they drop their seed in there. And what they do is they build up a wall of their own, like, goo between. It's almost like making them condos.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They get little rooms so that if you shoot the stuff in, if you try to fix it yourself, all you're really doing is just screwing up one of their insect rooms.
Yeah.
And
all the other ones on the other side are safe.
They're all safe.
Right.
And that's where all of the eggs are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the eggs hatch and you have
bees.
Bees everywhere.
So how do you get rid of them?
Well, Jack, that's what God invented the phone book.
I gotta
call somebody because she printed out like a 12-page thing of do-it-yourself, and I got to the very first page and I said, "You're kidding me!" I said, "Really? You look at me. You don't know me that well." I said, "Do you really think I can handle this? Like getting up on a ladder and taking apart my?" I said, "You're talking about taking apart the house,
right?
Like peeling an actual wall of
no,
my
get
house.
An exterminator,
prying, you know, prying it with a crowbar.
No, get an exterminator to do it.
Get a pro.
I shall.
Yeah.
Do they sting?
They've never stung me. I don't know.
I bet they do.
I think they're more like a termite then. I mean, because they don't seem. I don't think they sting.
Well, do you have a picture of them there? Do you have a picture of the carpenter bee?
Not of the bee, just of the holes that they make. But if you Google it, I'm sure you can find it.
Googling
the bee's hand.
Yeah, they like being on
hand
railings.
Spring, everyone.
Decks and staircases. That's where I got them. Wood piles, window frames, door frames, dead trees, fence posts. Just about anywhere unfinished wood is available. These holes are drilled by the females. They enter an inch or two, then turn 90 degrees. The next section of their nest tunnels as little as 12 inches or up to several feet. These bees also crawl between the cracks and seams of wood and drill their holes out of sight. You may only find the sawdust or see them entering an area where they're nesting.
Right.
You don't have to be, Bibba, you don't have to have the holes as seen above for an active nest to be in your home.
Yeah, it says here, you don't have to be a star, baby.
To be in my show.
To be in my show.
The male carpenter bees are very aggressive. They'll get in your face, but they don't have any stingers, so they can't hurt you.
The Richards.
Yes.
As opposed to the Karens.
And the female carpenter bees have a painful, awful sting, but will only sting you if you corner them.
Oh.
And the females.
You corner them, right.
The females are bulimic.
Pin them.
And the females play the drums. Ain't that right?
Normally, though, you'll find most of those bees at the top of the world. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Who do you think you are? Superstar? I don't know.
Carpenter's humor. Jesus Christ, help us all.
Come on, Mike. Come on, let's work together.
I know.
I just want to be close to you.
There it is. I'm out.
It was,
I don't know any more Carpenter songs.
It was only yesterday when I was sad and I was lonely. I could do this all day. Oh,
I know.
Bless the beast and the children.
What are they doing there? Just hanging around?
They're waiting for the mail. Please, Mr. Postman.
Oh, God.
Stop. No. Oh, come on, Mike. Join me. Sing.
Sing a song. All right.
Am I King of the Carpenters?
You're King of the Carpenters.
I believe
he's a fan.
Just to end this, I love you, King of the Carpenters. I truly do.
Have they been doing it long? Or have they just begun?
They've only just begun.
Rob, why do we have to go on hurting each other? Join us tomorrow when we'll riff on Air Supply songs.
Yeah. Very mild-mannered Carpenter Bees.
We'll be making love out of nothing at all. hold on. When we come back,
yeah?
I got two phone calls from my buddies over the weekend about their weekends.
Well,
and I do want to give at least a segment. Here's the tease I got from both guys. I get a call from, well, first, I got a very drunk email from Mike about 4 a.m. on Saturday morning.
And that was post-David Allen Coe.
A very nice email from Mike. But I love the first line. I am drunk.
I am drunk.
Okay.
Yeah, I have two apologies to make to two separate social groups.
Wow. But the one I heard about then in a phone call from Mike was his home blackjack game, which went horribly bad.
Nice little family barbecue with some friends, just a few people, that degenerated into a drunken casino night.
Huh. And then, of course, there's the old big head back there.
Hello.
You know, my BF, my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He, now, keep in mind, he's got my godson.
Right.
I love that boy,
yeah.
Robert. I truly do love him, and I know Rob loves him as well.
I know.
But my question is, what are you and your wife doing? What is wrong in your parenting skills?
My parenting skills?
Well,
this was not on my watch.
Hold on. I thought we weren't going to throw her under the bus.
Well, I believe she just was.
Well, the bus is here.
Okay.
You can nudge her in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the boy did something that ended up... He ended up getting a shaved head.
Little problem with some hair.
Yeah. Huh.
And anyway,
a lot of people would think... Could shave his head anyway, just, you know, for political purposes.
Right. Yes, of
but
course.
But not so.
To make, but he's not a skinhead.
No.
Nor is he affiliated with them, Rob.
No world's youngest.
Sweet boy.
Right.
Sweet boy loves people.
Yeah, loves people.
Get him a nice little brown uniform.
Little shirt.
There he is.
Hi, yeah.
There
okay,
he is.
Robert, how you doing, buddy? All right, so we'll hear what happened with them.
Good.
And Buzz,
yes?
You know, we never ask you.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Every time I think we're going to catch you napping,
no.
You sneak right in there.
I'm right here.
You crazy bastard.
Let's go.
We're all here.
Number 15 Arbitron rated,
right.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have not been notified yet about this investigation. Mr. Speaker, and he just left this floor, and I asked him to stay. He has handled this situation as a disgrace. As a disgrace.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Let's hug it out, bitch.
Yeah, baby.
I start.
Not a word, Mike, please. Just listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Forgot to mention, if you really do care about what I think about, like, the actual movie itself.
Yeah, MI3.
I do.
Yeah.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
You and the rest of the country, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. Philip Seymour Hoffman is good.
Mm-hmm. He is good.
There's a couple of good mask scenes, you know, mm-hmm. with the kid from the Cher movie.
Rocky Dennis.
Hey, Ethan Hunt. I'm Rocky Dennis. Here's my mom, Cher.
Rocky
following
Dennis.
Things are not cool.
sun on my face.
Hello. There's some good mask play, but other than that, I don't know. You know,
I'm more excited about Poseidon.
It was okay, and even more okay was The Sopranos last night. Yeah, come on. Slow. There's only three to go.
Slowest ending I think I've ever seen on a Sopranos.
Really? Who gives a rat's ass if Christopher is going to get back into the drug life?
Mm-hmm.
We've already been through that with him, right? We're supposed to feel bad for him because he knocked that chick up and now he's going to start using again.
Yeah, and where did the wife come from? I mean, like, kaboom. Out of absolute left field. It was very strange.
But at least Paulie saw the Virgin Mary at the Bada Bing.
Look at that. She turned up on the stage there, Rob.
And you reminded me of the only highlight that I truly had from The Sopranos. When Paulie Walnuts gets up, he's sleeping. And his hair looks like Krusty the Clown.
Yep.
You got the big-ass wings coming out on both sides.
It's an emergency. Of course it's an emergency.
And how did he say biopsy?
Biopsy?
Oh, but it wasn't a biopsy.
Was it biopsy?
No, it was another word that he screwed up, that he mashed up.
Like
I wish they
biopsy.
Were similar.
It was, somebody will call. He didn't say biopsy.
It was malignancy or something like that.
No,
metastasized. He screwed metastasized up.
Uh-huh. But I remember biopsy.
With that accent, he can screw up any word that he
said it a million times. Well, someone will call, I'm sure.
Just ride the teacups.
The teacups. The whole thing was so slow, man. I mean, you know, you actually felt like you were in Newark last night. You really did.
Well, three more to go, right?
Yeah.
Three to go. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, I got a nest of bees that settled in my radio that I keep outside that I listen to you on, and I went out and bought this wasp and hornet killer spray, and it says it'll spray up to 20 feet.
Right. Thank you, my friend.
Bye!
As I explained, it's not, they're carpenter bees.
Bees in the radio.
Bees
on the radio.
You can't just shoot the stuff in.
Wearing my black and yellow sweater.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hi. I just called to say that Mike is right. It was metastasized that Paulie messed up saying.
But he didn't say metastasized. He said something besides that. I just don't remember what it was.
He added an extra syllable. I'm not nitpicking here. I don't doubt what Mike is saying.
I think it was metastasized.
But how did he say biopsy? The way I heard it, he mispronounced that as well.
They're going to cut me open, P.
Used a different word.
They're going to cut on me, P.
Hello, Don and Mike show. It was like a different accent on it. I don't know. Hello. Maybe it was my TV. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, what Paulie said was, I got to go. I got a biopsy.
That was a
biopsy.
Thank you, my friend.
Biopsy.
A biopsy.
A biopsy.
See, like I said, it was just a pronunciation.
Yeah, right.
I got a biopsy. That's what stuck in my mind, and you're right about the
I got
other
a lot
one,
on my mind, T. I got a biopsy in the morning.
Okay, and so The Sopranos was in.
Okay.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
How was your weekend, friend?
Yeah, you got a little taste of it over the weekend when I emailed you, and that was in the wee hours. I have to apologize to both my major social encounters of the weekend. I went out to a concert. Well, you might want to call it a concert. I call it something. It's something. It wasn't a concert. Went to see my life insurance agent. Was on a kind of a lark, going to go see David Allan Coe, the old country performer. I qualified this, and this with a lot of my golfing buddies. This thing was all over the lot. This was just a weird social occurrence. But I'll tell you, the people that go to a David Allan Coe show, you see the just the loveliest people. I mean, just the most amazing people. This guy has, the way I understand it, and I don't know it that well, but this artist is a prolific songwriter who has, at one stage or another in his career, has been a fan of bikers. He has also been associated with the Klan.
Wow.
And he is also a country guy that's written like songs as mellow and adult contemporary as Please Come to Boston.
Right.
Please come to Boston for the springtime.
Well, obviously, when he got on stage, he's 35 minutes late. Now, when you go to see a show, you know, if there's an opening act, you tolerate 35 minutes late. When he's the headline and there's nobody else, you know, I'm sitting there going, God, when's this going to start? We're out there at the theater. He comes on stage, and he's got, I guess he's 60, 70 years old, and he's got the hair hair that goes, you know, right down here. It looked like a poodle. Huh? It started at the top of his head. You know when a guy just completely lets the hair grow out?
Was it Phil Spector-ish?
It was actually longer than that. It was really ZZ Top-like. Only ZZ Top with a perm. It just was way out. He was all big, gray, thick hair.
Was it at the Kennedy Center?
Yes, it was the Kennedy Center. It was the Kennedy Center Honors, actually.
Oh, wasn't it?
So I had warned this guy, my buddy, that I might leave, and I just wanted to qualify it. Total time from
might is funny.
So that's a funny
he
word.
He obviously doesn't know you that well. He knows you well enough to sell your life insurance. He doesn't know you that well.
Time on stage, 20 minutes. 20 minutes that it starts. And it was just a combination of things. Fact that he started
that's
late.
My buddy, that's my guy.
I got there at 7:30, so I spent some quality time with Bill and all the folks there. But at 20 minutes into it, it's just this wall of guitars, and he's doing his one of those medleys. You know when artists get up there and they race through a medley with all his hits. He wrote "Take This Job and Shove It." That's one of the biggest things he ever wrote.
Wow.
So that's it. You know, and unfortunately could not hold my attention, and at this point, two of the women go off like into the balcony of this theater to chat. There's another couple sitting there with the guy's wife, the lady's husband, and then my buddy Bill goes down the front to get a closer look at him, at this oddity that's on stage. And I end up saying, you know, check please.
I made
a phone call later just to say we had a great time.
Good for you.
Wanted to say thank you. Yeah, we couldn't stay. We couldn't stay for the whole thing. I hope there were no hurt feelings I certainly said that might happen.
That's not deserving of a big apology.
Right.
Certainly not like.
Right.
Like what else happened?
Yeah.
Well, I ended up going out to.
This is where the real Mike comes to.
Oh, good.
We've seen this. I know what the story's about. We've seen this side of Mike before.
All right.
I have what I would like to call a family barbecue schedule. Not a family barbecue, but a barbecue with just a few friends. There aren't going to be kids there.
Right.
There is not going to be, you know, family there. It's going to be just some adults coming over and having some steaks on the grill.
Right.
All right. I set this whole thing up. I'm looking forward to it. Get up early in the morning. You know, once again, I'm at the doing the 10 o'clock thing, but it's going to Costco, and I hate the fact. And this is just message to Costco, which I love. Mm-hmm. You know, guys, please. I mean, on a weekend, maybe. How about 9 o'clock? Seriously,
yeah.
How about just 9 o'clock?
Hey, Costco's hours are effed up. You ever try to go there like on a Friday night?
It's ridiculous.
Like, we're on vacation.
You're right.
You pull up like at 7:15. They go, hey, you know, Moosehead French should have told you.
Is Costco? It's a Walmart. It's a grocery store.
We close at 7.
Right. It's a Walmart. It's a grocery store. Apparently, it's supposed to be this great place to work. The employees love it because they have those hours. That's part of the whole attraction to the place. 10 o'clock is this just stampede on Sunday morning. Everybody's doing the same thing I'm doing. They're doing the total stampede into Costco, and I am already in prime, you know, my friends call me the hater. I'm in prime hater mood. I'm sitting next to Carla in the car, and I'm ramped up for this by looking at this woman the size of Jabba, who has obviously been sitting there in the prime space since 9:30, so she doesn't have to move her fat ass any extra way. And then for some reason, I'm just looking at her, looking at me, and she's drinking one of these just creamy latte, frothy fraps that she's just, you know, and I said, I'm just sitting for no reason yeah, I'm hating this woman. All but right. I'm saying to Carla, there she is. Look at her. Look at, there she is drinking her big frappe, mocha, chocolate chip, caramel, delectable, bleh, you know, and she's just sucking this thing down. And I bet she doesn't go 15 minutes without something in her mouth that she's not enjoying. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about food. So it opens up. I get all my stuff at Costco. I get everything ready. I get the house all ready. Get the grill ready. Get everybody ready. Everybody arrives. It's very cool. And it degenerates. Really. I'm trying to like have a normal social event. I'm trying to have like just people over where you sit around and you socialize and you have steaks and you have a nice meal and everybody's like, yeah, thank you very much. Well, no. With me, it turns into a bar. It turns if it's sure. My buddies. It turns in. It's an immediate. I mean,
of course it does.
There's a drinking game that started within 10 minutes of the people arriving. I'm cooking the steaks on it. Everybody likes the steaks, but everybody, you know, halfway through this barbecue is too lit to eat the steaks that I cook, so they end up taking them home at night. But what happened was the cards came out, and then I served the food. Some people ate. Most people were still drinking, and then it's like, and then I bring it up. They're playing this card game. It's a drinking game. I said, why don't we play a regular card game? And I remember what you'd said to me about you like to be the dealer and play a friendly game of blackjack.
The last time you guys were all at the house, I was the dealer, and I cleaned up the house.
You know what?
The house always wins.
That's
it's the cardinal rule, Mike.
Right. So we have, I said, why don't we do this? I'll be the dealer. And they all, you know, all of a sudden the drunken eyes get a little wide. It's like, oh, you'll be the dealer? Yeah, we'll all buy in and, you know, we'll have a little card game here. I said, yeah.
So the game is blackjack,
it's
right?
It's blackjack. And I sit there and I think when we started, I had 9 people that I was dealing to. And it progresses and it just gets more and more of, you know, drinks are flowing, everybody's left. And you suddenly realize, and this is something that I should have been very, very aware of, but the fact that I am the dealer, that I perhaps because of the length of the afternoon had not really clued in on, is that it will be 9 people at war with me.
Yeah, you're the opponent.
You're the house, right.
Including Carla's mom's boyfriend's friend, who showed up and who was slick e-boy and decides that every time the dealer busted, which was me,
right,
he was going to go around and high-five everybody at the table.
Oh,
okay,
wonderful.
So this is a guy that I got my gun sights on already.
Cost of business when you're the house.
And he was right to my left, and he was, you know, he's this pretty guy, you know, Jack Wagner guy, and I'm just sitting there going,
Wagner, everybody.
It's just, you know, hey, and he knows all about cards, and hey, how come we can't split aces? I said, house rule! We can't split aces, because that's my house rule.
Right.
Do you split aces in your game?
Yeah.
Really?
Swear to God, if you're lucky enough to get 2 aces.
Oh, well, everybody got 2 aces. And they didn't split them. They weren't allowed. Didn't matter, though.
Good for you, Mike.
Didn't matter. So here's what happens.
Okay.
The girls, obviously, are in one room, and the guys are out playing blackjack. Then Carla came into the game and said, can I play? Well, this is when I'm down to nothing in the bank, but I say, yeah, you can, because I'm like, maybe in some way, you know, this will help. This
smart.
Is not helping.
And family cause.
And it starts that I start losing it. And I mean losing it. And it goes from just making
jokes.
We're
not talking about money. We're talking about your temper.
My
right?
temper. Right. And because it starts with me making jokes that are funny. I'm kind of laughing with everybody. That, oh, man, just like anything I touch, I'm going to be the big loser today. This is the way it's going to go. Okay. Dealer has 16. Dealer breaks. And then you hear, you know, oh, big fun. Then they start hipping to the fact that I'm not liking the way this is going.
Oh.
Because when you are doing this and you lose, you got to pay everybody.
That's the rule.
It's just killing me.
Yeah.
I have provided everybody with chips. And, you know, and incidentally, if this is illegal, you know, come to the house, put
it's
the cuffs on me.
It's
okay?
Not. It's not.
But
not
I'm reaching into the back.
Not high stakes, but what was the limit?
$5.
Okay.
There you go.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm reaching back into my poker chips that Carla got me for Christmas.
Right.
And I'm reaching in, like, 10 different times to get more chips. This is my money now that I'm going to have to come with out of my pocket.
Yeah.
So it starts with me going, yeah, the big lid. It's like, ha, 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 ha. Then it was, I break a couple more times, and you start saying, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
And you hear this tone. This tone that makes me want to just get a machine gun out. And because everybody's going, oh, wow. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. And because I'm getting that tone, that,
and
oh, geez.
That is
you
their,
guys have played cards with
that
me.
Is
you
their,
know.
Oh, very familiar.
You're talking about that's their reaction to you,
that's
correct?
That's their reaction to me. Maybe I didn't articulate
when
it
you,
properly.
When you lose.
I'm letting too much emotion come into this. Let me say that their reaction to me starts by, ha, 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 laughing out loud. Then it's like, oh, geez. Then the reaction goes from that when I lose to, and then it starts this. Then every time I lose, you can hear this. You can hear this. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And when I lost it is I at one point I have a 10 card, and everybody has garbage. And for some reason, they all didn't want to gamble and play the normal way. They just want to take. They want to stand because they're just counting on the fact that I'm going to break. So I lift over my 10 card, and then I lift over my 4 card. I have 14.
14 right? showing.
And then
so you got to take a hit.
Why waste time? I immediately lift over my 10 card again. So the dealer has 24.
24.
And that's when this is the sound I heard. And I hear this.
Yeah.
And I look, and Carla's laughing too. And I went,
oh.
Okay.
I'm going to take a little break now. I'm going to take a little walk. Thank you. Enjoy. Hope you've had a great time. And I just walk out. And I realize, you know, when you do this and you realize that you've made the move where you've got guests of, you know, 10, 11 people that are sitting there and you are the total ass and there's no way that you're going to redeem yourself without. So I walk out and I take my beer and I like throw it at a tree. And I miss. So it just bounces, it skids across the backyard. And I'm out there in the pouring rain, and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? Am I going to go sit in the car? Or no. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go back, and I'll go to New York and eat ass. Yeah. I'm going to go back.
Lost in America.
I'm going to get back. I'm going to walk back into the house, and I have an excuse because one of the guys had ridden his motorcycle up there, and he had left his helmet out, and it was wet. So this is my entree back into the room. And I come in. I come in pretending.
That is weak.
It is totally weak, and it's totally transparent. But it's and I walk back in like nothing's happened, even though I've had this little tantrum, and I go, okay, I'm all done with that, taking my little bathroom break. And incidentally, your helmet is soaking wet. And so here's the idiocy. I have a bathroom right around the corner. So now I've told 11 people that I just, you know, went wee-wee on the deck. And I've got this. So I sit back down, and I think we played two more hands. And then I gave them all the food, and everyone went home.
The end.
So I want to apologize to all of my guests. I was not the best host. It was a little too much day.
Yep.
It was a little little different party than I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. It was just a little too much everything. It was just too much. It was too much weekend.
I know you.
And I was not happy, and I don't like to lose. But here's the thing that's bad. I lost. I ended up losing like $6-7 total. I thought I lost like 30.
Oh.
And then so I was actually pretty happy. And then Carla reminds me this morning, well, what about the money you loaned me when I bought into the game? And I went, oh, yes, I lost that too. So technically I did lose more than anybody else at the table. I think that's the way it worked. And it was just a... You know, the whole weekend. I woke up this morning saying, "Boy, the whole weekend was just me being an ass."
You had the. We've seen it before.
You've seen it at the poker game.
It starts with a joke, and
then when he fight and Mike's lowballing it. I'm sure you weren't an ass in front, a total ass, right. Like, you know.
Well, I made the ass.
Age.
No, I made the ass move where I got up and
Mike
I said,
does,
"I'm leaving."
Know, like,
cards
okay.
were on the table. I left in the middle of like the you know
the hand. Oh,
I walked away in the middle of the shoe. And incidentally, I'm getting card shuffling machines. I'm going to get the shoe. I'm going to do exactly what you do. Because you know what? After all that, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. And I'll keep my emotions in check. I was tired.
Okay, Tiger.
I will try. But you know, didn't I do it at your house too? Did I deal at all? Or didn't I try to deal and I lost then too?
Yes. And you got mad. And
that
then
sucked.
When, and then when you went
it's
back.
You did that. It's your fault. Because you came to me and you said,
the house always wins.
Yeah. And Carla said the same thing to me. House always wins. Well, not me. You know, when I deal, it's a big goddamn low pressure system that floats in over me, and it's just like, it wasn't only raining on the outside, it was raining on the inside.
Well, as long as you can, we all play again soon.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
You want to come over and play? I'll do it.
Come on, I got the fancy table.
He's got the table.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll deal at your house.
My house.
He prefers
I'm the house.
You're the house. I'll do that. I'd love
Although,
to.
You know what?
I'd love to.
You know what? Hold on a second. No, you know, I got a feeling your luck is
how many?
Bad.
How many decks do you play when you do that?
I think two.
Two?
Two.
Okay.
You know what? Go ahead. Set it up at your house.
All right.
Set it up at your house.
All right.
That'd be fine. I have faith in your bad luck.
I got
that.
I got
bad
kids
luck.
This weekend. Let's do it the following weekend.
Okay, you're on.
We'll do one of our afternoon things we have to do evening
you're
stuff.
On.
We can do that.
At your house.
My house.
Your house.
4 o'clock Saturday, a week from Saturday.
Okay. Okay, good.
I need to get stuff now. I'll go out and buy the stuff.
And you're going to be the house.
I'll be the house.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right.
So maybe I can redeem myself.
Okay. Can you and I have a...
Just you guys, okay?
Can you and I...
And don't bring any strangers.
Can you
Even though I did meet this guy, I don't mean to offend him. Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. You were... Let me say this publicly, sir. I think his name is Rob. Rob, you were invited.
Was this a guy that showed up at your house
who
wasn't
guy that
invited?
Up. Yes, yes. But he was. I've met him.
Was he
before.
A total stranger?
No, I've met him before.
Was he there with other people?
Yeah, he was there with
invited.
Yeah, he was there with. Yes, he was.
Great
he
name.
Was there. Yes, and yeah, that's what his name was, and he knew about cards just like you. I think that's what his name. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure that was his name.
Let's say it.
Well, it's already begun now.
Yeah, but I want you guys all.
Okay.
What's already begun now?
You're mad at me already, and we're not.
Yeah, I am. I am, and I and also at Carla's business partner, Joey. I was mean to him too, and Joey, I apologize. All right, I'm and your fajitas were delicious.
Thank you very much. I just was really...
Someday we'll find out what he really did.
I was very... No, I didn't... what do you think I'm hiding from?
No, I don't think you're hiding anything. I think... But the way you present it... I mean, no one has seen a real Mike O'Mara tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're doing it justice. I think... I don't think you're trying to hide anything.
Well, I could lie and say that I hit somebody, but
I didn't
do that.
No, but I just... I don't think that people understand, and I don't think...
They have to see my face.
Yes.
The level of intensity.
You're not hiding.
I'm not... You don't think I successfully communicated the level of intensity. Maybe I didn't.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen
There's
it.
The look. There's that look. Oh, God,
what
damn.
Now...
There's that look.
Don't get mad at me.
Well, that's the same look. It's the same look I was getting from everybody yesterday. And then you all laugh when I walk away. Sucks. Hate being me. Yes, Rob. I snuck out and flattened four tires. Yes, if everybody woke up with a slow leak today, that was your charming host.
Oh,
thanks for coming.
We've got to break.
Wish the house could have won. Sorry, your tires are flat.
Right.
Number 15 Arbitron rated the Don and Mike Show.
Mr. Phelps, I see under interest, you've written debit.
No, that's the butt. The butt. Yeah. And also, I like tennis.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello!
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
All right, thank you,
Hey, Dad, you are in denial.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Phil.
The cure for your malaise.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you don't take another drink today, you're going to be drunk for 6 months.
Yep.
You are drunk at a tissue level.
Nobody's disputing that.
Nope.
Don't forget the homework for tomorrow, boys.
Yes.
What's the gayest thing, really, that's ever happened to you? And think all the way back to when you were a kid.
All right.
The gayest thing. Please be as honest as possible. I don't want to put be a school teacher and say it must be at least 25 words, but type something up on your computer.
Okay.
Bring it in tomorrow. Print it out. Use just the basic font so nobody can tell whose is whose, and we'll read them tomorrow, and then it'll be a nice guessing game.
Now there goes my lavender font that I was going
to
use.
To see which one of us has had the gayest experience in our life.
Very good.
Oh, and stand by now for cash and prizes.
Yes.
Okay, we'll play a game here in a second, something that I know you'll like. But first, we got to real fast go to our internet site, which is donandmikewebsite.com.
Yeah.
We got pictures up there today. Mike, here's your first glance at these photos of the lovely Courtney Love.
Courtney Love.
And I use that word very loosely, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, her band Hole. I think that says it all. She's out of rehab.
Oh. Oh, good.
She's out shopping. She's trying on clothes without using the dressing room. And here she is. These are photos that we found on a website. She's at some boutique in L.A. called Divalina.
Looks like rehab did her good.
She looks nice.
Classy lady. And if you check out the upper left, that's a nice cigarette. Nice little cigarette hanging out of her mouth.
Isn't she lovely?
Ain't she beautiful?
Beautiful. Looks like the... gravity might be beginning to take its toll. Also.
And then it's also time for the Charlie Sheen update.
Yes, please.
Because
the gift that keeps on giving so far.
What, Rob? Her whole body resembles Madonna's hand. You remember that picture we had on the website of Madonna's hand?
The talent.
Okay, Denise Richards has cut off Martin Sheen from the grandkids. Martin Sheen, do we still have the tape of him? We had it a couple of shows ago. Martin Sheen, President Bartlett, excuse me, on the West Wing.
Right.
Martin Sheen came out and said some stuff like, hey, Charlie Sheen is my son, and I just want what's best for my grandkids. Denise Richards, now, thank you, Smoking Gun. They feed us stuff every day about this. Thank you, smokinggun.com.
Very cool.
Let me see. Denise Richards says, he is no longer allowed in my life. He will no longer be able to see Sam and Lola. Those are his grandkids.
Well,
that's what Denise Richards says about Martin Sheen.
What did he say that infuriated her? Do we know?
That, we had the tape.
I know that he was saying, can't they cooler heads prevail?
Yeah, right.
Can't they get together?
It was a 30-second soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. And then there's this. Also, thank you again to SmokingGun.com.
Yay.
Charlie Sheen Now, we've talked about how she alleges he watches kiddie porn.
Right.
She alleges that that he roughed her up.
Yep.
He's done a
bunch of horrible things, according to her.
Okay. Here's the latest now that Denise Richards is letting go with. She says that Charlie Cox.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
That might be appropriate.
That works.
Charlie has been with a woman named Kayla Cox. Now, Kayla Cox is a porn star.
You'd never know it from that name.
And also a Las Vegas-type showgirl.
Huh.
Now, here you go. Here's a picture of Kayla Cox. This is also on our website, DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Right.
Now, Denise Richards throws this
like
out
a,
there.
Looks like a transvestite.
Mike?
Transsexual, rather.
Good eye.
Hold on just a moment.
You know, I didn't look at the right... I swear to God, I didn't look at the right side either. I looked at the picture.
I'm sorry.
Really, if I looked on the right side...
I'm sorry. I wrote on my copy of the picture where it has a penis.
I see.
Anyway, Denise Richards says you should know that Charlie's involved with this person.
All right.
Kayla started out as a man. And while she kind of looks like a woman, according to Denise Richards, and later has been verified by Kayla Cox, she still has male parts.
Oh, dear.
She's still got the D&Bs. So they talk to her.
Do a simple Google search.
She's a she-male.
Yeah. Do a simple Google search, as I did this morning, and found myself screaming.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
It ain't subtle.
There are pictures that...
You screamed the first or second time you looked at it.
Yeah,
fourth was the worst. Five was okay.
I know a lot of people, you know, not safe for work. Yeah, really, right. These pictures not safe for work.
Not safe for anything.
According to Denise Richards, Charlie is really not in love, but has been involved in lust with her.
Hmm.
So, they go to Kayla Cox. Okay, Kayla Cox, they call her up. Here is a quote now from Kayla Cox. Reaction to Denise Richards outing her as Charlie Sheen's boyfriend/girlfriend.
Okay.
Can't wait.
She says, I don't want to comment on Charlie, but I will say I am sick and tired of buying cheerleader outfits. That's not even funny. Because it's alleged that that's what Charlie Cox is into. Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
Now.
So that's not a denial.
No, it's not a denial. And then they go to Charlie Sheen. And they say to Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, man.
So now they go to Charlie Sheen and they say, now on top of everything else, now Denise Richards has...
Is he doing a she-mail? Is that what the allegations are pointing to?
That's what she's intimating.
Wow.
Now, Charlie Sheen says, now you tell me if this doesn't sound like he's 100% guilty.
Okay.
And this is worked up by his PR company.
Right.
And also you should know, he's in trouble when we are getting press releases from Charlie Sheen's. I mean, we're not like picking this off a service.
Right.
Who was the other one that sent us something last week? And we were amazed that...
The Maury Povich lawsuit.
Yeah. That we are getting to the show, like the mailing saying, hey, listen, please understand, the woman is a liar, and then we get something from the Maury Povich people saying, please don't believe what this woman said.
Right.
So anyway, we get a thing from Charlie Sheen's PR company today. They faxed it to us, and here's the quote about Kayla Cox. This is contrived and it's done to, so he can spin, but it's awful. It's like, this is the best you can come up with. Quote from Charlie Sheen. If I had a dollar for every piece of wrong information that people report to the media, I'd be able to get in a card game with Donald Trump.
Wow. That's a weak line.
Right? It doesn't say
that's
much.
The best. Yeah. I mean, you can't say I've never been with her or my wife is full of crap.
Absolutely
what
not.
What I do in my own...
These allegations are totally false. At least that.
My
right,
own
right.
business.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, that's... People.
Well, here's the thing about Charlie Sheen. To make these statements, hasn't Charlie Sheen admitted that he has been with hookers? Hasn't Charlie Sheen dated a porn star?
Yes, Heidi Fleiss.
I mean, you know, all this is out there. So,
right.
I mean, this is not... much
anyway,
of a stretch with
plausible.
This particular guy.
Right. So anyway,
she's slinging it right now.
Like Rob said, just do a Google on Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A Cox, two X's, and you'll see all you need to see.
I feel kind of sorry for old Martin Sheen and all of this.
Yeah. And the last thing that I want to ask you guys, seriously now, and Rob asked me this question today. I got it correct. It's kind of a, not a who would you do, but it's a serious story. Who would want to fight? A deaf guy or a guy with no legs? If they're going to duke it out, who wins the fight? Because it really happened. Mike, who wins?
The guy with no legs.
Buzz.
I think the deaf guy wins.
You're the big loser, Mike. I said the deaf guy would win as well.
Well, I said the guy with no legs would win.
Oh, well, the deaf guy won.
The right. deaf guy won?
The deaf right. guy won. It's handicap on handicap crime. Okay, this is in by Indianapolis. That's
you
all
know what I based that on? I saw there was a wrestler who had had that deformity, and he was an incredible wrestler.
There are two guys who meet at a bar for people who are disabled. They're having a party night. This is not a joke. Here, thank you, Rob. Valparaiso, Indiana.
Okay.
Friday night, they meet at a party at a bar. The guy with no legs says to the guy who's deaf, "Would you drive me home?" The guy, James Mills, is the deaf guy. The other guy is Kent Heisey. He is legless.
Okay.
They drove around for over 60 minutes. The guy with no legs started getting mad at the deaf guy because the deaf guy didn't understand the directions that the guy with no legs
right.
was giving him.
Okay.
Eventually, the deaf guy got so pissed, he pulled the car off on the side of the road, walked to the other side, pulled the guy out with no legs, and started beating on him.
Oh, my God.
Until the state cops showed up. And
wow.
There you go. There's your answer. Winner.
Deaf guy.
Deaf guy.
Yeah.
Winner.
Man, oh, man.
Deaf guy winner.
Wow.
DGW.
Also, the deaf guy was... won two times over the legal limit of being drunk.
There you go.
Super power.
So that is that. Now, let's give away some cash.
Yay.
Let's give away some prizes.
Good.
Oh, we've got good stuff. We've got the Hooters VIP seats for the VIP swimsuit competition, the Hooters swimsuit competition in Rockville.
Hello.
We've got the Tom Petty tickets. We've got stacks of cash.
Stacks and stacks of cash.
Wadge of bills. We used to do a feature on the show called Breaking News, where we asked people to break stuff.
Right.
And I think the last time we did it, like 3 months ago, we had a couple guys calling with guns.
Right.
So now we've just decided to abandon the whole premise of Breaking News.
Uh-huh.
This segment will forever now be known as... Shoot 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
Weaponry only, please.
All right.
Again, we're asking that you wear your safety goggles.
Mm-hmm.
Call us at 877-365-3636. The best
sound.
Shoot 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to tell you what you might want to think about using. I don't want to say,
but put it in a safe place and, make sure safety first.
Of course, but... Let's face it, we did this with people like breaking stuff off their decks and like breaking their appliances, but we've gotten the most thrill
out of people shooting things.
So now let's just pull it back all the way and just make it shoot 'em up. Whether it's going to be a gun, whether it's going to be, gosh, I don't know, a stick of dynamite, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe
a good M80.
Maybe you've got a grenade around the house.
And it's not just the weaponry, it's your target, because it both adds up.
Yes, I mean, I think right away. I picture an old console television being taken out in the backyard shot with a 357.
Again,
special.
Formerly known as Breaking News, now known as... Shoot 'em up!
Shoot 'em up.
Yeah.
Get them, boys.
Got to call us right now at 877-365-3636. The very best shoot 'em up that we get in this next segment of calls.
Very good.
Gets $100 and all the other prizes that we just talked about. The Hooters stuff and the WWE stuff and the Tom Petty stuff. So call us now with various weaponry.
Very good.
We'll accept virtually any weapons as long as they make noise.
That's the key. And really, the best sound usually wins this.
That's
so
right.
Blow it up real good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Robbie, crossbow and...
I think, will we accept non-gunpowder weapons?
Well, like Rob just wrote down, what if someone uses a crossbow with light bulbs? I think we don't have anybody that smart listening to the show.
I got my fingers crossed.
I don't think so.
Boy can dream.
That's like Elvis shooting the...
flashbulbs.
The flashbulbs in the pool.
Right.
That
will paintball guns be accepted?
Yeah.
I think we open it up to a much wider audience if we accept paintballs.
Only
not slingshots.
Only if the end result
is the sound.
Is what we desire.
Right, right.
And look at the lines ringing off the hook already.
Yeah, people love to shoot stuff.
Okay, so here we go. It's shoot 'em up.
Yes.
We'll give you a segment on this. 877-365-3636. We'll be right now.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Did you hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Tracy, when I'm with you.
Very scary kids. And I'm not kidding you this time. The Don and Mike Show.
Wow. When I'm out firing my weapon, this is what a true hunter listens to.
Yeah, we have this in your iPod when you're hunting.
I'm wearing my big orange vest. I listen to the Cufflinks and Tracy.
Skipping through the forest.
Of course, you'll recognize Ron Dante, also the voice of the Archies, and later Barry Manilow's producer.
Ron Dante. Oh, now that's a porn name.
Now you've said too much.
Also a very good friend of Bette Midler, but then again, I'm going way deep into...
Are you tipping your hand on what your story's going to be tomorrow?
The gay story. That's tomorrow's episode. Now, the segment that used to be known as Breaking News. That just called Shoot 'Em Up. Brought to you unofficially by the NRA. Because remember, you know, guns are good, according to the NRA.
Yes. Yes, they are.
And our listeners...
That's what they say.
Our listeners have various forms of weaponry. And we're looking for a really great shoot-em-up sound effect.
Yes. Now we're going to have what you're going to shoot the thing with, where you are, and what you're going to be shooting. That all plays into whether you win this game or not.
It used to be just breaking news, where it'd be like people would take, for instance, China, and they would just start throwing plates across the room.
Right.
We love that. We love that like dogs love cheese.
Spectacular.
And not to be confused with what you put in the dryer. We've done that, too.
Yeah, we've had people put bowling balls in the dryer.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
But really, it started to take off when the guy started calling. We had a guy that said he wanted to shoot tin cans in his backyard.
Exactly.
We still have the Elmo that got the through and through. Remember?
Yeah, the guy that shot the Elmo, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So breaking news was slowly taken over by the NRA.
Right.
So let's embrace it. After all, you know, if it's inevitable.
It's a through and through.
As Bobby said, lay back and enjoy it. Would someone answer that
phone is ringing.
What's that?
Whose phone is
that? Someone's phone is ringing.
Not mine.
Is that yours, Mike?
I don't hear it.
Ringing? What do you mean?
Oh, I don't hear a phone.
Hearing loss. It's very faint and it's very high pitched, so you're not hearing it.
See if you have. Hold on. 'Twas not mine.
I know it's not mine.
Did you just miss a call?
Let me see. Hold on. 5:48. You're right. You heard it.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it vibrate though.
You are deaf. Well, I mean, that was. I'm not asking you. That was audible.
You heard it?
And I heard it.
Yeah, that's why I said whose phone is ringing.
All right. Well, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm deaf. Gee.
What?
Thanks a lot.
Well, you could kick a guy's ass who has no legs.
Yeah. That's right. Well, Jeff, you listen to the show. Don't call me when we're on the air.
Anyway, as Rob brought in, here's the Elmo, the Tickle Me Elmo, or whatever it is. That
right.
One guy just, as you can see. Hi, Mike.
Now, hi there. There he is.
Right through Elmo's
stomach.
Through Elmo's stomach. Wow. Let's see who's on the line here. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hey, what's your name?
Hello.
Hello.
I heard him.
Let me do a reset. Hello. Don and Mike Show. All right, try that one.
What did you hang up on him for?
I didn't hang up on anybody.
He was speaking to us.
Hello.
Well, now what's going on? Something's goofy.
Not in my...
Hold on. You know what? Apologies. Phone system just clicked in. Hello there. Hi, you're on the air.
Don and Mike.
There you go. Hi, who is this, please?
This is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Where are you from?
Flint, Bernie, Maryland.
All right, welcome to Shoot 'Em Up. What do you got?
I've got a laser gun.
A laser gun? How does that work?
What's a laser gun?
It's a gun that shoots lasers.
And in what way? Explain, please.
Okay, not like in a
like
Star
level,
Trek way.
I mean, is it like in Real Genius where you can like burn a hole in the wall or something like that?
I mean, if you're any good with it, sure.
A laser gun. Has anybody ever actually heard of a laser gun outside of, like, Star Trek?
No.
Does it make sounds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Where did you get the laser gun?
Kmart.
You're full of it.
What is the use of the laser gun?
Shooting stuff.
No, no. When they sell it at Kmart, before we hang up on you, what is the alleged use of the laser gun?
It's in the sporting goods section. It's for hunting.
It's for hunting. And what does it do?
No, hold on a second. Wait a minute.
I know.
Wait, what do you mean? It's in Kmart. It's used for hunting. It removes unsightly back hair.
It's the laser gun.
Is it a laser sight?
No, it's a laser gun.
Explain.
We need more.
If you're lying, you've stayed on the air longer than you should anyway.
What's the power source for the laser? If you don't...
Batteries.
Batteries.
How many?
D batteries.
How many?
Seven.
So it runs on about 10 minutes.
Goodbye. You know, that's like something you'd...
Why did you call Radio Shack?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to...
Shooting stuff.
If you're going to play a game called Shoot 'em Up...
Right.
And your weapon takes D batteries...
Yeah, not sticking up.
Shoots of light.
Forget it. It's my laser gun.
Light, not all that noisy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Call back for the vibrator show.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, man, this is Ryan.
Okay, howdy, Ryan. How are you? Where are you from?
Mechanicsville, Maryland.
Okay, home of the real man. And what is it that you're going to be shooting it up with?
I have a couple things, man. I got AK from China, fully automatic pipe bomb.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's
well, the I just heard on click, click, click right, at the end there. What is the...
I'm on about 5 acres of land back here, man, right off the Texas.
All right, so you're out there. You got plenty of room, so it's safe to do what you're doing. What are you going to be shooting?
I can set up a target. I was just going to shoot into the water.
Shoot into the water. Okay, well...
He will be shooting the river.
Shooting fish.
Go ahead. Shoot into the water.
Go for it, Ryan.
Shoot into the water, Ryan.
All right, hold on.
Here he is, everybody. What the hell's that?
Is that his mouth?
Ryan.
Ryan. Hey, Ryan. Hello?
What was that, dude?
It was your mouth.
That was my AK-47, man.
That was your mouth.
No, you went like this.
Man, I see y'all. Y'all have a billboard up in Waldorf. I see y'all fat head all the time up there.
Right.
Okay,
right.
They took it down.
Yeah.
I saw them back in '84 up at the Garden. Man, it was a kick-ass show, man.
What are you talking about now?
Tom Petty.
He wants to go to
Petty.
You didn't shoot a gun.
No, you just made your lips go. You're worse than the guy with the laser gun.
And you said
gun.
We had fat heads.
Hey, do you want me to set off the pipe bomb?
Sure.
Or do you want more AK?
No, sure. I want the pipe bomb.
Pipe bomb.
All right, give me a second. Hold on.
What
hey.
Could possibly
hey,
go
Billy,
wrong?
Hold your hand. Hold your hand back. All right, hold on a second.
More mouth noises.
Come on.
More
now.
Mouth noises. Get there, huh, son?
What do you think you're?
Yeah,
do you think you're the guy in?
There you go, redneck.
What were the Bubba Smith movies?
Yeah. Police Academy.
Police Academy.
Michael Winslow.
He does ass.
No player.
Hey.
I mean, no,
you are disqualified.
No, come on, only
idiot
players, please. No player.
What
haters.
Kind of man digs Tom Petty?
Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello. Well, I don't know what's wrong with that line. Let's try that one. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello, I heard somebody struggling to get through.
No.
What is the deal with the phone?
Joe is writing. Hold on a second. Oh, a lot of these people are calling from fields in the middle of nowhere where the cell reception is not great.
All right.
Please bear with. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Hello, are you there?
Yes, Don and Mike.
Yes.
There we go. Hi, who's this?
This is David from Crownsville.
David from Crownsville. Okay, David, what do you got on Shoot 'em Up today?
I've got a Raptor stun gun, 300,000 volt.
A stun gun.
Very good. That's acceptable.
Interesting.
Now, how is it that you have a stun gun?
I bought it at a roadside fireworks stand on my way back from New York.
Sure. I hope
perfectly legal.
It's perfect sense. All right, very good. A Raptor, what are you going to be stunning?
I'm going to stun myself.
Oh, now, you know, this, now, again, this
you have
has,
our attention.
Mike, please keep your crab detector out.
Yeah, I know. Very dangerous, too.
I'll click it for you first.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Fall down. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
That sounds legit.
That's okay.
Now, what can this do? I mean, some of these stun guns could actually completely incapacitate you. Or what? How strong is this one?
Well, they range from 100,000 to 900,000 volts. This one's 300. You give them about a 3-second burst, and they're on the ground for.
Now, does this shoot the little like strings sparks into you, or is this like the thing that Chloe O'Brien had, like a stun gun?
No, this is a stun gun. It's got four prongs.
All right, how are you going to be doing this? Explain how you're going to be. This could be a winner. Mm-hmm. I mean, automatically.
Oh, no, the guy's really hurt himself. How would you be willing to taser your? Or is it now? Is taser
it's stun gunning? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it to yourself?
Will you stun gun yourself in the ass?
All right, I'm going to sit down. Well, I guess I can lay down, and I'm just going to give myself a short burst.
Okay.
It'll probably take me about 5 or 6 seconds to pick up the phone.
Are you going to be able to? But will you be able to talk while you're trying to pick up the phone?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've only done this once.
Why did you just?
But you have tried this before.
Oh yeah, when I first got it, nobody would let me do it to him.
Of course, wouldn't you? If you had a stun gun, wouldn't you try stunning yourself?
So you're going to be lying down. You're going to stun yourself, and then you said it might take about 5 seconds. Listen, if you can't talk, at least try to make sounds.
Yeah, lay the phone next to you,
and make sure that the phone is near the stun gun, where the point of
by your ass.
By your ass.
So I'm going to get myself on the butt.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we want to hear you say, you know, Don and Mike, 3, 2, 1, and then we'll listen.
Do a three count.
There we go.
Okay.
All right, we're ready.
Here we go.
I'm laying down on the floor. All
right. You're going to lay down. That's smart.
That's smart.
Okay.
That's smart.
Ready? All right.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
It's hard. The sound sounds legit. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right, so you're able to talk right after that.
Oh, I couldn't give myself a long enough burst. I dropped the taser.
Do it again. Okay. Do it again. One more time.
It hurt like hell.
I don't believe. Do it again.
Jesus, give me a second. Hang on.
Let him recover.
Okay. I mean, if you're on the level, we'll give you the prize. But
this might be one where I'd want him to come down with it.
So
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And maybe we could sweeten the pot if he came down and did it.
All right.
Hold it, sir.
All right, you ready? All right,
go ahead.
One more time.
All right, here we go.
Now, is he stun gunning himself in the ass?
No, I don't know.
I
somehow think he might be.
Yeah.
David, can you hold on a second? Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Dave, hold on a second.
Where's he going?
Hold on, we've got experts calling in now. Don and Mike show. Hello, hold on there, Robbie. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, hi.
Hey, with a stun gun, if you're the one holding it, you complete the circuitry, so you therefore become the ground. It's not possible for you to hold it and therefore also shock yourself. You have to have an uninterrupted circuit, like someone attacking you, that you would shock, and it repels them.
This is fine. This is legit. Right, I want to get the guy on the line and see what he says to that.
Hold on a second. Let's get his answer right now. Hello, David.
Yes, sir.
David?
Did you hear that last caller?
Yes, I did.
And so what do you say to that, that you ground yourself, that it's not going to shock you?
Well, whoever I hit with that is going to be touching the ground anyway. I don't understand if that makes sense.
Hold on a second. We have now someone who's
what was that
on,
answer?
Someone on his side. Hold on, Mike. Hello, Don, on my show. Darren.
Hey, guys. I used to work for a police department. I've actually shocked myself with them before. Right. The noise is legitimate. You hear it because the electricity is arcing. As soon as he touches himself, the sound will disappear because the electricity now is going into him. And if he's holding it, he won't be able to hold it. The shock instantly will probably cause him to release.
So you listened. You heard this. Do you think the guy was legit?
I heard it, and I think he's absolutely legit.
All right.
Okay, I tell you what. Hey, David. One more time, now this guy, I'm going to believe you. That are you a current cop or a former cop, Darren?
Former
cop. All right,
I'm now a private investigator, but I still own the stun. I've stunned myself both sober and drunk.
Okay, well then, Darren will have a prize for you. David, do it one more time, and now I see Joe's putting up an instant message. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people say, yes, you can stun yourself with these guns. They've done it.
Good to know.
Go ahead. Do it.
Our listeners are rallying, Don.
They would know.
Do it one more time, and if the cop gives the okay, you're the big fat winner, David.
Give us a three count, David.
I mean, Don, you're killing me.
Three,
two.
Hang on, let me get back on the floor.
Okay.
I'm not trying to fall down.
Yeah.
All right.
Three count.
three, two, and we took the phone to my butt. One.
And you on the phone, you think he's legit?
A cop?
I'm not giving that a fourth time.
Cop, do you believe him?
I believe him because I hear the crackling and it sounds
you
like...
You know what? That's good enough for me, too.
Yeah.
That is definitely good enough for me.
That means we got a winner.
Yeah.
We got a winner. And we've also got a brand new game.
Yeah. Stun yourself.
Not shoot a puppet. Stun yourself.
Stun yourself.
And next, how about taser yourself? Or get a friend to taser you. Oh, my gosh. David.
This is.
David, hold on. First off, David, we've got $100 for you.
Woo!
Plus, you get two VIP seats to the Hooters Swimsuit Competition in Rockville, Maryland on Tuesday, May 9th. See you at Hooters. Plus, you got tickets to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, the special guest Trey Anastasio at the Nissan Pavilion Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now. And you got the WWE prize pack. Don't miss WWE Judgment Day live on Sunday, May 21. In demand, pay per view. Call your local cable system now to order. Thank you, David.
David, is there a mark?
Oh, there's going to be.
Okay.
I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I've heard a lot of contests. But if anybody has ever earned $100 and some tickets.
All right, well, you know what? You can thank that private investigator for backing up your story.
Hey, Darren?
Yeah.
Darren?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, Darren, hold on. For you, we've got the $50 Tower Records gift card for the latest music and movies. Go to TowerRecordsandTower.com. And you've also got NYPD Blue Season 3 on DVD. Own it today. The Emmy Award-winning police drama that took the standard for television.
Wow.
Boys in Blue. It's an awful lot to read for a show that's not on the air anymore.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You can see Dennis Franz's big fat ass.
He's a nice cop. He'll love it.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you.
Hold on, both of you. Well, that worked out pretty good.
That's cool. I like that.
Stun yourself.
Stun yourself.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
He's telling the truth. I did it for myself.
Hold on. Joe's got 1,000 calls here.
Sure.
Hello, Darren.
Yes.
You're a believer as well that you can stun yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm the one you already talked to.
Oh, hold on, Darren. I'm sorry about
well,
that.
Well, of course you believe. That was stunning.
That would be wrong. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I want to talk to Don and Mike, please.
We're right here.
You're talking to us. Hello.
Oh, hi. Sorry. My name's Elaine, and you had said that you had carpenter bees.
Hold on, Elaine. We're talking right now about stunning yourself in the
air. Sure,
ass.
You want to get some information Rob could translate.
Okay.
I mean, I know it was at the very beginning of the show.
And I'm sorry,
but real fast, we got to go right to Buzz. Yeah, go ahead. What is it?
Okay, I had him in my house too, and an exterminator won't take care of them.
No.
They told us to get a beekeeper.
A beekeeper.
They said that's
right. And where'd you get that?
Well, we went in the phone book and looked under beekeepers. And the beekeeper came out to the house and actually did it because the exterminator could not get rid of it.
Work out okay for you?
It was perfect. Because we had him in the wall. Yeah, they were buzzing.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
She just had to be translated.
Hot dialect on her.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Hey, what's going on? He deserves $400. One for each shock. At the beginning of the show, it says we're ready to believe you, and you guys obviously didn't.
We will wait for the digital photograph of his buttocks.
And I guess you don't understand when we say at the beginning of the show we're ready to believe you. That my friend, is obviously a joke.
While I have your ear, may I ask one more question? Has anyone ever sent a self-addressed stamped envelope for the rules? The contest rule?
You mean the disclaimer at the very beginning of the show?
Yeah.
Right.
I tell you what, send it in and see what happens.
That's right.
Bye!
You know, we'll send you a nice Applebee's finger in the mail. We opened this thing up, didn't
yes.
we?
Yes.
Buzz! Uh-huh. I'm sorry, TGI finger. It was TGIF. It wasn't Applebee's.
These aren't the rules, honey. It's a finger.
Buzz, what are your lead stories on news and comments today?
Today, W's finest hour. How to save money on gas. And Tom Cruise has a small opening.
Oh. Okay. Hey,
come on, save those stories till tomorrow.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Right, Buzz, coming right. That was very
professional.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this.
and more.
Your favorite asses, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Last time I'll remind everybody, it's me, Don, Mike,
right.
Buzz, Robbie,
Homework.
Johnny, Yanni, and of course, Slow Joe.
Joe.
Tomorrow, y'all got to write down the gayest thing that's ever happened to you.
Really?
No BS. Unless that was involved in somehow.
I see.
Some form. The gayest thing that's ever happened to you. We'll write them down and read them,
uh-huh.
and then we'll have a fun guessing game to see if there is a listener out there that can match the six guys on the show mm-hmm. with the gayest thing that's ever happened to us.
All right.
I would say I've thought about mine. I'll give you a hint about mine, because mm-hmm. I'm sure others will come at the same point in their lives.
Yes.
I think I was about 11.
Ah, yes.
How about you, Mike?
I told you during the break I'm not comfortable with this.
But you also told me during the break that you definitely know the story.
Yeah, I do. I know the story. It's going to be difficult to piece the story together, but I have the most important parts, and there's just one significant part that I don't remember.
How it happened.
You blocked out, of course.
So,
but it happened.
We'll have six separate stories of touches with gayness
wow.
tomorrow, and it'll be up to you to decide.
Which, the listeners?
Yes, which one of us is, you know, whose story goes.
So you going to read them all like back to back, or take a break for each one? Or?
Oh, no, we'll do it in one break, you know, with music and everything.
Oh, good.
It'll all be read the same.
Wonderful. And I mean
with the same inflection.
I encourage everybody to use creative writing.
And be honest. Be honest. I'm going to be pissed if I come in tomorrow and I'm the only guy.
Of course.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be a funny joke?
Yeah.
Huh? Everybody else showing a blank piece of paper.
The lights come on. And...
I've got War and Peace.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, your news tonight is sponsored.
Cool.
By the Visa Business Card. Business takes efficiency, whether you pay by debit or credit. Visa Business helps you get things done. Your business is your life. Life takes Visa. And now, here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Tom Cruise has a small one. As Tom Cruise summer blockbusters go, in spite of a promotional tour that included less jumping on couches, but about the same amount of crazy talk, Mission Impossible 3 made about $17 million less than Paramount Pictures expected in its opening weekend.
I don't think that's the Tom Cruise factor. I think the movie's just not that great.
But nobody knew that. The factor is 3.
Yeah,
I mean, I think factor, 2 is okay, right? But 3
sure.
sucks.
Sure.
Come on. Come up with an original idea.
Well, actually, it is.
I know it's an original story. It's a series, but it's still, right. You know, I wish they'd just do, why does it always have to be?
Well, I think we live in that age where, and I agree with you, Mike, there's nothing original, but
right.
if it got a good word of mouth on Friday,
uh-huh.
by Saturday, you know how it is with a movie.
Right.
You're saying, I want to go see this. Has anybody seen it? And people, you know, everybody I talked to said, yeah. You know, they said to me, go see it because you like the other two. You'll like it. You know,
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the stuff that everybody filters their own way. Poseidon, for whatever reason, I couldn't even give a rat's ass. And now, because of what I've heard and what I've seen and just a couple of little things that are said, it's really brilliant PR on the part of the studios. I somehow am intrigued about it. You know, when you hear something, oh, you'll never go on a cruise ship again, or wait till you see the scars. I know it's all hype, but I'm intrigued by it, and now I'm interested in seeing that movie.
Yeah, but I think the reason Mission Impossible 3 didn't do great box office is because it's not that great a movie.
Mm. But nobody knew that before they bought their tickets this
weekend. I know, but you understand what I'm saying, though? Uh-huh.
You're right. Once it comes out, if everybody says, oh, my God. Or even if it comes out with the reviews, and it's getting crappy reviews.
It's got awful reviews. I think a lot of times that the studios look at a Friday night number, and they know right away if it's going to be good or not. And if the turnout is good on Friday, and I think it was from what I read on Mission Impossible 3, that's where like the word of mouth gets out.
Right.
I could be totally wrong about it. Maybe people hate Tom Cruise. I don't think people hate Tom Cruise.
You think you're reading too much into the Tom Cruise? I think people are. I think absolutely.
I read something in, Entertainment Weekly, where they printed a rumor that I guess Fox had been putting out, 20th Century Fox, not Fox TV, saying that Paramount had had a screening of the movie, and that in one scene where Tom Cruise is getting the crap beat out of him, the audience started cheering. Now, see, Buzz, please don't tell me you're dumb enough to believe that.
I am.
Okay, then you're an idiot, and I love you.
I know you.
But really, you're an effing moron if you think that because he's jumped on a couch and acted crazy, listen, here's what people cheer for.
Right.
If O.J. Simpson's in a movie
right.
and he's getting the crap beat out of him,
right.
that's what people cheer for.
Right.
I mean, Okay.
It would contradict.
Well, now I've called you an effing idiot. Look at that.
No, but you make a good point.
Oh, God.
I am an idiot. No, I'm kidding.
Stand by your convention. If you really think that the movie didn't do business because people hate Tom Cruise.
I do think that was a fact.
That is definitely one thought out there.
Right.
That other small-minded people like you are voicing. So right. Stand by that.
I will.
Incorrect opinion.
And $48 million is nothing to sneeze at. That's what the movie pulled in this weekend. Yeah.
That's my Donald Duck sneeze.
I would have thought.
Thank you, Rob.
$100 million opening weekend would be barely acceptable for a movie like that.
Studio says it expected $65 million, got $48 million instead.
I don't think that Tom Cruise that they would necessarily applaud when he's getting a crappy, but I certainly think that I'm like everybody else, and my feeling about Tom Cruise is he's totally overexposed. Yeah. You can't pick up a tabloid, go to a show, and on that count, I would say that's Tom Cruise. Not hate him, but go, God, you can't not be the guy anywhere you go.
How much did make, Buzz?
$48 million opening weekend.
You're right. Not great, but I don't think people hate him. You know, he's also got a problem. Definitely got that man boy thing.
Oh, I mean, and that too. Oh, God, that drives me insane.
How old is Tom Cruise?
He's in his 40s.
He's younger than us, but he's over 40, right? Okay. I mean,
he looks like he's 12.
He's stuck. He's almost like
Peter Pan.
Oh my God, Rob, now,
we have a new alarm. We have definitely a new alarm.
Yeah, we do.
You said the pee-pee.
We
really
do. Now, I like this alarm, though.
How predictable am I?
You are.
I like it.
You are.
The Peter Pan alarm.
He's just like Peter Pan.
He is. That's just a little song to my fans and friends to tell them a little about me and what I'm trying to tell them. Real life Peter Pan. All right, Buzz. Sorry.
Anyway, it made about $10 million less in its opening weekend than did Mission Impossible 2, and that's back when ticket prices were cheaper. MI3 is definitely not playing well in Germany, Austria, or Switzerland, where the whole Scientology thing offends them.
I don't like it.
This is terrible. Scientologists are so bad. They're like devils.
I don't like it.
Devil worship. That's what it's like.
Thank.
Yes, Major Hawksfeather.
I will not go see Mission Impossible. Three because of Tom Cruise Scientology.
I won't see it either, Major Hawksfeather, otherwise I'll go to the Russian front.
The much-anticipated movie The Da Vinci Code, meanwhile, may be the target of lawsuits if Catholics with lawyers listen to a cardinal of the Vatican.
God.
He's proposing legal action against the filmmakers and the author of the best-selling book, which he calls blasphemy. The cardinal says Christians should do as other religions and get tough against attacks on their beliefs. The cardinal, one of the candidates for pope last year, wants a boycott of the movie as well as a barrage of lawsuits. For starters,
wish him luck.
Da Vinci Code.
Sorry, just came to me.
Duh.
Oh man,
Vinci.
I wish that guy Jim Varney was still alive, because you could really make the Da Vinci Code. Vinci Code.
Well, wish the cardinal luck. In the very Catholic countries of Italy, Spain, and Mexico, advance tickets for the Da Vinci Code are already nearly sold out.
It'll be boffo, and Tom Hanks still has the same. Speaking of queer haircut,
he does. But he made fun of that on Saturday Night Live. Which was cool. Yeah. Of course, he has no choice.
I mean, it's like when you're disfigured.
It was funny.
What are you supposed to do? You come out, you got to say, look at me.
The monologue was all about the hair, which was funny because they would ask him a question about the Da Vinci Code. People in the audience said, I laughed like an idiot at a very obvious joke. But it was funny that they all went back to the hair.
And Hollywood still focused on fighting counterfeit DVDs. So much so, the Motion Picture Association now has two black Labrador retrievers that can supposedly sniff out pirated movies.
No doubt.
No.
Children are still missing, but we have dogs that can sniff DVDs.
Because he said black Labrador retrievers? Is that what it is?
Hello. My name is Tyrone. I'm a little black retriever.
Well, there's the black labs and there are yellow labs. That's what they have.
Yellow lab, golden shower. This will be very funny. Where am my master?
This is Robert the Mailman.
I have to go outside, Daddy. I am your black retriever.
Labrador.
Labrador.
Thank you.
Keith Richards has brain surgery.
Laboratory. Keith Richards.
Brain surgery for Keith Richards. We'll tell you about it when we come back.
That's right. Oh, hole in the head.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, who believes he fell out of the tree now?
I do. Where's my dog, Mick?
You do.
Where's my black lab?
Like Tom Cruise, yes.
Okay. Keith Richards. We'll be right back, everybody.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally.
really. Everybody is talking about the show. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, you see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show.
More than 6, but less than 12. The Don and Mike Show.
And now more news and comments here. It's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Tom Cruise, lover, hater. What is it again? He hates him.
No, I think he loves him.
Do you love Tom Cruise or hate him?
I, neither. I'm not fond of him.
Doesn't
like him. Don't care for him, Mike.
You hate him.
Yeah, he's
protesting
quite a bit, but he loves him.
That's it. Now I know I hate him. Val Kilmer from Tombstone. Sorry. My favorite Western.
After falling out of that coconut tree, Keith Richards kept having these headaches. So this morning in New Zealand, doctors drilled a hole in the Keith's skull and drained the excess blood that had collected there. The operation was a success. Keith is awake and talking with his family. He'll be as fine as Keith Richards can be at this point.
Me, they drove the hole in me head. I just spent all this time on. I want to get back with me mates on stage. That hurts.
It's not the first time Stone's concert dates have been delayed or canceled after Keith hurt himself.
This is Keith. Yeah, Richards.
To Don and Mike. Fell off a ladder in 98.
Driller, this is a sermon. Drill it deeper. Deeper. Drain the cloth.
Doctors say he'll need a few weeks for recovery, so the early dates of the European Bigger Bang Tour have been canceled.
Tell me how.
Sorry, Spaniards.
Here he is, Keith.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Right. Yeah. And what was what was that thing Mick Jagger said, Rob? That he was what was he? It started
Mick
with an
Jagger
L.
Mick Jagger is less concerned about his health and more concerned that he put the tour in danger by going out larking.
Larking. My mate was out larking.
The way he and Ron would do.
My head feels full of porridge.
Now, in one of the silliest legal battles ever, the Beatles have been defeated by Apple Computers. The argument was over the Apple. Even though the Beatles' Apple trademark looked nothing like the computer company's Apple logo, the Beatles, which now includes their survivors, filed a lawsuit.
Don't forget Apple Coldplay or whatever Gwyneth Paltrow's husband's name is.
Martin. Apple Coldplay.
Hey, man.
That's a good name. I like that.
Apple Coldplay.
Apple Coldplay.
And now, a judge in London has thrown out the case and told the Beatles to pay the other Apple's court costs. In a previous lawsuit, the computer company paid the Beatles $26 million for using the same fruit as their logo. This was just the latest Beatles lawsuit against Apple Computers, and it may be the last. The two sides are now talking about putting the Beatles' library of songs on iTunes. How to save money on gasoline, part one.
Okay, well, first off,
yes,
you have to have a strong stomach.
Really?
Oh, are you talking about siphoning?
Yeah. Well, no, not today. Not today.
Siphoning. That's how I've been saving money on gasoline.
You have to be careful because it comes up real quick and you can swallow sometimes. Very bad.
My chick told me it's very much like learning, if you're a girl, learning how to, you know. She said,
really?
It's very simple. She said, just, you'll get used to the taste. And that's how we spend most. When we were driving to lawn sales, where I was handing out business cards to get people to listen to the show because our ratings are so bad.
You hit a few cars on
the road. We were out siphoning gas.
That's a good thing. Do you get a full tank this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and also, you know those red plastic jugs?
Yeah.
Right. Fill them up, baby.
Oh, fantastic. So the lawnmower's all set.
Yes.
Siphoning's not so bad if the car you're taking it from's had a lot of pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
There's a website.
That was the number three joke you just made.
Yeah, I know.
That was funny.
There's a website where you can buy gas now before the price goes up again. One guy who drives an F-150 paid $2.03 a gallon for his last fill-up last week, while everybody around him was paying $2.73. See, he bought 500 gallons a year ago when $2.03 was the price.
Didn't we talk about something similar where...
The airlines do it. I mean, like airlines Southwest.
I think we talked about it. There was a guy who did it when gas was like $2.60 a gallon.
A DJ friend of yours did it. Someone in Chicago, maybe?
Yeah, that's right. That's where I heard about it. Right.
Here's a guy who bought in at 99 cents a gallon 3 years ago. First Fuel Banks says it now has 300 members. One customer bought $400,000 worth.
$400,000.
You can buy $50 worth. You can buy $500,000 worth, whatever you want.
So if you're buying $400,000 worth, are you doing that to open your own business and sell to other people?
I don't know what this individual is doing, First Fuel protects their privacy. Okay.
some of us enjoy hoarding.
Hoarding.
Thank
you're
you.
All about that.
Well, all I know is if you're going to smoke mm-hmm. at Don's house, smoke inside.
That's right.
If you light a match outside.
Oh, you don't want that.
Kaboom. Kaboom.
How to save money on gasoline, part two. Become or hire a computer hacker to tap into the keypad on your favorite gasoline pump. It's happened at least two stations in St. Louis.
Just say my favorite gasoline pump.
What's that?
Her name is Kathy, and she works at the Exxon right on the corner.
Uh-huh.
She's terrific, isn't she?
Town pump.
Best pump they've got.
Send us a picture of your favorite gasoline pump.
Yes. Somebody reprogrammed the keypads inside the base of the pump so the pumps would dispense gas at no charge.
Oh, I hate it when the pumps dispense gas.
They apparently used what Joe would call a skeleton key. One station owner says he lost nearly $10,000 worth before a customer tipped off an employee. Some companies are now moving those keypads to behind the counter inside the gas station. Now, for Ronald Reagan, it was, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
Yes.
For LBJ, it was signing the Civil Rights Act.
I know where you're going with this.
Every president
has... Brother, what can I do to help you?
His crowning moment.
Okay.
For George W. Bush, it was catching a fish. Quote, when I caught a 7.5-pound perch in my lake, end quote. That was his answer when he was asked about his worst and best moments as president. He said the worst, of course, was 9/11. The best, he said, was catching a fish. Let's name the fish Osama.
Oh, God.
And when
you know,
we...
Can I just...
Sure.
Can I, you know...
Yes?
He didn't need to say, let's name the fish Osama.
I didn't?
I think... You know, we,
you're saying that
the
actual idea of the president
the story
of saying a fish it stands
on its own merit. I think that was just a little over the top,
a little too much.
Next step.
So, yeah, I was drawing a comparison between catching
I know
a
what you
fish
were doing.
And catching.
I know what you were doing, but really, the story isn't the story really just what a dopey is like? You say to a guy, because I saw the clip too.
Mm, right.
Like, what's the worst moment? Well, of course, the terror of 9/11.
Of course.
Yeah. What's the best moment? I caught me a fish. I mean, come on.
And wouldn't you think, of course, I could, give me enough time, I could come up with a few great ones for him. Sure, right? It, being reelected. What about that? You know, confidence the American people giving me a second term was
right.
Very gratifying. You know,
it's good.
I caught a 7-pound perch.
Fish.
Jesus.
Stands on its own, Buzz.
Very good,
stands,
man.
Stands by itself.
He's so noted.
God, I hate it when you make me defend him.
Sort of enjoy it.
When we come back, delightful and intriguing stories about women's feet.
Oh, well,
yes.
Okay. Well, how do I get off this bus? I'm not a foot fan.
Well, just leave the toe sucking to me.
You'll like it.
I'm pulling on the string to get off at the next exit. we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Pigs love mud, and you love Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here he is. I loved you in that movie, A Fish Called Osama.
I'm glad you liked that.
With Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Remember that, A Fish Called Wanda?
Yeah, it was great when he makes the guy eat all of his... actually, Kevin Klein eats the fish, and then Osama bin Laden's all tied up. And he's got a terrible stutter.
Hi there, Buzz. Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, over the weekend, the United flight from Chicago to San Diego made an unexpected stop in Denver for security reasons. Apparently, there was a strange chemical odor in the cabin. Turns out, it was a woman painting her nails.
Oh, I thought it would be something.
That could be...
Big fart.
Wasn't a great big fart.
That could be exciting for New York's Joseph Weir, who loves women's feet. He's been arrested for assaulting women on the subway by kissing and licking their feet. 8 women picked him out of a lineup. Police had gotten 14 complaints.
Trading sex for alcohol and cigarettes.
Quoting the assistant DA, these women are having nightmares. He's clearly a menace.
You just don't value yourself enough. The fact that you would let them touch you is disgusting.
Shut up, Dr. Phil.
I don't want you to ever do it again the rest of your life.
Suck a toe.
Some women say he asked if they could be their slave.
Ooh.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Come on, suck it, Phil.
I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail.
Oh. Yeah.
No! Between the toes.
I'm a funny guy, but I don't think that's funny.
Think about the Queen Dr. Phil's toes.
Who wants cheese with those crackers?
You going to try to do that with me? Because I'll get all over you.
He will.
Take out the cheese between your toes?
Are you a prostitute?
No. We're disc jockeys, ass.
Are you a drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been drinking today.
Yeah. Well, talking about the cheese in between your toes.
You are in denial.
Your feet stink.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We got to go. Don't forget, everybody tonight now. Bud.
Homework.
Mike.
Right.
Rob.
Not comfortable.
Joe. Yanni. And me. We'll all be writing stories about the gayest thing that's ever happened to us in our real lives.
Sure.
The closest we've ever come to being homos.
I see. All right.
Okay?
You insist.
Write them.
I know mine won't be the gayest.
Use word perfect. I don't know. I might bet you on that.
No, I don't think it's that big a deal.
You were kind of selling it during the commercial break to me, telling me that.
And then I realized that's really a bad idea.
Mike said to me that it really is a... It was a moment?
I got information to change my... That made me aware of something that helped me. I don't know.
I do.
I'm really not comfortable talking about it.
All right, well, anyway, we'll do that tomorrow. We'll all read our gay stories, and then you see if you can pick out the guy with the story. Hey, we'll see you. Good day to you, sir. All right, Osama. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, and tomorrow we'll talk about what the hell your wife did to my godson's hair.
Yeah, he's my handsome man.
Okay. Bowden.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Jasper, where'd you get these brownies?
They're from a bakery in the West Quahog Gay District. I thought they'd help my depression.
Oh, I can see why. Oh, my God, they pack so much fudge into these. And look at this, there's even a couple of nuts lodged in there.